This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's just a couple minutes after 7 here in nice, calm, cool Phoenix, Arizona. We're coming to you live from Studio C, as we do every Tuesday. I'm sitting here alongside, you can tell by the overhead shot, we're a 50% show at this point. We're going to work our way up to three quarters. I'm sorry.
I was told there'd be no math.
Marnie's on her way. She's bringing extra food. She made food. We're doing our, what we call our, we call it fake Thanksgiving, but it's not, because it's a legitimate.
Yeah, it's just not on the right day.
It's, yes. But anyway, here we are. Everybody's in the chat room already. Thank you for being there. Amina and, Aaron from LA is in there. I haven't seen my mom pop up, but she might be very busy defrosting something. I'm not sure.
There's quiet people. There's non-participants in there. Like, the number on this.
Well, there's 8 people. Well, but yeah, unfortunately, these two, three. So that takes it down to 5. You're 6. So we're getting there.
I don't know.
Who cares? But anyway, welcome, everybody. Also, I see that Germany and Brazil are also listening from the great beyond on our audio-only stream. Heaven's sakes alive. Busy week. There's so much going on, yet it seems calm. And I guess it's just because the hysteria of the election is over and we're just still absorbing, and it just seems a little more peaceful.
Yeah, and I don't participate in holidays in the day they happen, so like, and there's no stress. I'm like, I'm going to your mother's house, but
yeah,
I'm not stressing about it.
No. You know, I mean? Couldn't actually remember if you were off work.
I have to leave and go to work after.
Oh, okay.
That starts the next stretch as we.
What time do you have to be at work?
7.
Oh my gosh, we'll have plenty of time. I have to be at mom's at 3 to remove the bird from the oven. Oh, my heavens. What, die, hi. Oh, there she is, mom and I. The new look, yes. Only in the chat room. Everything else looks the same.
Oh, I just realized that it's the same on my screen.
It's the same on all screens. Worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how
it
works.
Well, the rest of it looks exactly the same. Oh. So
No, it's just darker.
I type on here and read up there, so I don't really look at it.
No, I figured out that it was much easier. I was sitting in here in the studio doing some work the other night and realized that there were options to change the look, which I never had realized before. And I did that. And actually, I text Kat and I said, by chance, are you at home laying on the couch? She's like, yep. So I said, jump on the chat room and tell me what you think. And she's like, oh, it looks so much better. Because I was concerned that it was just easier to read this way. Plus, like I said, the angle of the screens now, so the lights aren't glaring right on them. All in all, just to help us here.
Yeah, because I am going blind from bright white screens.
Is this new to you? How do you feel? Where did you come up with this? What's going on?
Oh, well, between the Target commercials on my TV that are blinding white and like looking at. So I might want to change the books that I read to this. It might be better up for my eyes if I
wasn't
reading.
Oh, to a dark
reading.
Background?
Yeah, to a dark background
with white lettering.
White lettering.
Look at this. Look at you figuring stuff out, Al. My God.
Because I swear that's why I'm blind, because if something's not lit up like the sun, I can't see it.
You can't see it, right.
Yeah.
Now,
I need a bigger wattage.
Are a lot of things at the restaurant that way? Are they bright screen?
Well, it's nighttime, so we turn. Yeah, yeah. And then we turn all the lights off, so I can't see anything.
including the participants.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good to know. What drug am I pushing? Who knows?
Yeah.
I got no idea.
Every once in a while, the glasses have to come on. Like.
Yeah. Well, you've worn them even in studio here a few times.
Yeah,
I watch
and they're
you.
They're always in the purse.
Have to.
Thank you, camera. Because there's just days that I'm like, I can't. Like, I didn't sleep right. Or, like, again, I've been staring at a screen, and I just can't fucking see.
I've been saying it for months and months, and I have got to go get an updated an eye exam, because I'm pretty sure that in a couple of years since I got those, things have changed a little, and I can just tell. I mean, the reading is still fine, but I can still tell at distance it's a little different. Plus, I've seen all the commercials for the new. Listen to us. This is stimulating radio.
Yeah,
I've seen the commercials for the lenses that cut down on glare, because every time I put the goddamn glasses on, a light on the distance, it's clear. There is a glare still, and I want those lenses that make everything crystal clear, aside from just in focus. I don't know what they're called. I'll find them.
If that's a thing, you should get
I should
them.
Get that, because it'll help.
If that thing exists.
It does, somewhere. And I'm sure you paid dearly for it. Oh, my heavens. Mom, I know you're listening, so I wanted to tell you, Al did bring the Cheddar Bay biscuits. They're in the oven right now. heating up. Now, where did you, because you didn't make these, did you? Or did you?
Yeah,
oh,
I just
you
made
did?
Them. Yeah.
Oh, you made
I just
them.
Came home and made that stuffing and made the biscuits and.
Gotcha.
Put it in a container and pedaled my ass over here.
Look at you.
I know.
I figured there was going to be a drop by today of you dropping stuff off, but.
That was just the cutoff of time, because driving from my house to your house takes for fucking ever in traffic.
Don't know why. Shouldn't. Don't know what you do different.
Well, because you got to go up to Camelback and around and down.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make any left-hand turns, and then you come back and you stop at 15 lights to go 5 feet. It's just annoying.
I see. Gotcha.
Where in the daytime I can, or, you know, off-peak, I can just cut across 7th Avenue and cut 10 minutes off that fucking drive.
Yeah, so we've got
canals and churches. And
we have food in the oven. We have some turkey. Al brought stuffing. Marnie's bringing a couple items. I know one of them is that corn thing that she makes that's got, like, I don't know. It just seems like it's sugar and corn. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's lovely.
Fine.
It's lovely. There's that in
taters.
The taters and cranberry sauce we have in there. So in just a little while, we'll be serving up food. Feel free to have a snack at home if you'd like one.
Exactly.
My heaven's sakes.
So what did you do this week?
A little bit. Like I said, I worked in here, accomplished a couple things, changed some bike tires. I started catching up. It's been kind of quiet work-wise, which is fine. And I've done, I went to Home Depot and bought some new pots for plants, and I repotted some stuff that was outgrowing them.
Yeah.
Bought a couple new ones, so I did some of that kind of stuff. And for those of you who don't live in Phoenix, we get to do this kind of stuff in the winter as well as summer because, well, hey, summer is too goddamn hot, and you can't really replant things in the summer because it is so hot it shocks them. So in the wintertime, you do a lot of that kind of stuff. So I've been doing that, putzing around, running errands, you know, the stuff. Got a new phone today.
Oh, I saw that.
Got a new phone only because, and it was a bummer when a few weeks ago when Mom and I went to that to Puddle's pity party, the little concert. Look at Marn.
For the love of Jesus.
Well, I have to tell you.
What, Marnie?
If everyone was you.
Yeah.
I'd be so in love with this world.
Oh.
Because you just plan.
Yeah. I rolled a cart out in the driveway for Marnie so she could bring everything in. She didn't bring that cart herself.
I was.
Well, you're welcome, Marnie. Well, welcome.
Hysterical that you have that at the ready for.
Well, sure. I knew she was going to be lugging. You know how she is. She always brings in. Yeah, who doesn't have a four-wheel cart somewhere just running around the house? Sure. I have two dollies. There's that. Show me on the doll where he hurt you. But anywho, when I went to the concert for the Singing Clown a couple weeks ago with Mom, I broke my heart that I took an entire video of her when she was on stage, and the sound was crap. Like, there was no sound to it. Like, I couldn't figure out why. And then I kept testing the phone and testing, and the mic would come in. Coming to find out, broken mic on the backside of the phone that was causing interference. So they said, we can't fix it, so you get a new phone. I'm like, yahoo!
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so I got a new phone today. I mean, it's exactly what the other one was. Identical. You couldn't tell the difference. But it was nice that was a simple, easy thing to do. So I went to. Now, the other thing that was kind of funky this morning is I went there, and I think you read this in my post. I got up this morning, and was all ready to go, and I did everything, and I got to the Apple Store, and I walk in, and they're like, well, Mr. McKee, we can't find you on the roster.
I'm right here.
Can you give us your phone number? So they gave I did the phone number, did it all, like, well, we can't find you, but we'll be sure. So I gave him the email, and I'm like, look, here's the email. He goes, oh, I think we've solved the problem.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be here tomorrow. So anyway, got it all knocked out today. I was happy about that. And so tomorrow I've got a little bit of free time.
Schedule wide open.
Wide open for that. Oh, my head. Well, Marn, welcome. Look at you.
Hi.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm well. Just take a breath. You'd like a beverage or your cool, like a cool drink? Because I think you I feel like you've overworked.
Okay.
Okay. There she is. Good to go. This coffee's a little warm. I may have to.
It's so hot.
Look at you in an ice pack.
I have to tell you, this what? Menopause is killing me.
Look at you with a frozen ice pack.
Oh, actually, that's just to keep these drinks cool.
Oh, gotcha.
It works dual purpose.
Oh, sure.
At some point, you got me some of those or left me some of those or forgot you had them at my house.
Yeah.
So I had to cool down a bottle of wine quickly. Not that thing, but it was one that's like a...
A gel
pack. So I put it in the fridge and took those things out of the freezer and wrapped it around so I didn't have to put the wine in the freezer because I don't really like that. Oh my God, the wine was cold in like 15 minutes.
I know.
I was like, I have found a practical purpose for whatever this thing is.
I knew that they were there, but I just figured if you wanted to give them back, you'd bring them, and if you didn't, you needed to use them, so that's fine.
I like that you think I open up my freezer.
Oh,
that's a smooth point.
You know what I forgot to do? I always do something when Al goes out of town. I forgot to do it for the past several trips you've taken. I always go to Al's house. I sneak in and I empty all the ice in the ice maker, and so it'll make all fresh new ice.
Sure.
Because he never opens the freezer. He gets like two cubes a year out of that thing. That's
yeah.
About
I mean, I take what like for a cup of coffee, I'll put an ice cube in. Right. But ever since the betrayal of the frozen pizza capers. That I thought I was eating this healthy, lean cuisine pizza.
Yeah?
And it turns out the front of the box was just talking about saturated fats, that I was really eating like a Big Mac every night.
Oh!
Because it was spinach and artichoke.
Sounds lovely.
It was from this, this vegan line or vegetarian line. Or something.
Okay.
No,
the
pizza was delicious, so I don't think it was vegan. Because the crust was good.
Otherwise, it would be cardboard.
Could you just write down vegans?
Well, traditional spelling.
They left a long time.
They have no humor for me.
Where did we eat the turkey?
And the pizza was absolutely delicious, and it was a thin crust, so okay. I really believed and it was a limited time only thing. God, or I'd still be eating those motherfuckers. But it was the spinach artichoke, and it was delicious, and I really thought like the whole thing had like 15 grams of fat if you ate the entire thing. I mean, I was putting dip on that motherfucker because it was spinach and artichoke.
I see. And then
I made it worse.
And then all of a sudden,
I thought I had room to grow, and then I just grew.
What was the light bulb moment when you realized maybe this something's wrong?
When it went off the market because it really was a limited special edition thing,
okay.
From somebody that I went to look at their other. So I was like, oh, let's see what other flavors they carry, and that's when I didn't look at the front of the box. I looked at the back and actually did the nutritional math, and I was like. What the fuck? And then I Googled the pizzas I had been eating. I'm like, well, those pants that don't fit make a lot more sense now.
I like my normal
speech. Well, I see.
Funny. Betrayed. That's how I felt.
And we got to that story by the fact that he doesn't open his freezer anymore because there's no pizza in there.
Because that was the last time there was something in there.
Right, and that's why the ice is always old.
By the way, February.
February. Oh, because of the Academy Awards. Yeah, true that.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming around again, for those of you who...
Yeah, oh, I know.
I'll get my ice packs back.
90 days away. 90.
The award seasons are starting.
So much happens at the beginning of the year.
Nominations are being announced. Yeah.
Yeah, what you doing, Martin? You're flipping through a lot of pages over there.
We go from horrible times to my happy place. Award season.
That's it.
God. Unless he closes down Hollywood, but...
No,
that wouldn't happen because he'd never get his Emmy.
Yeah, then he doesn't have a chance.
That's a good point.
You're never going to get an Emmy. What are you fucking kidding me? Not going to happen.
But I like that. I like that Tim Allen is talking about the people that bullied Trump supporters. Yeah, we just didn't like you. Sorry. You want to call up Ted Nugent and see what he's got to say about...
Seriously. Yeah. Who has been remarkably quiet. Scott Baio and Ted Nugent have just shut the fuck up. Like, what happened?
Somebody made a comment today. I was reading. I happened to be home waiting for my phone
to
restore.
Just back to their normal news cycle levels. Non-existent.
And NBC on Facebook had a live shot. That's why I watched the entire Medal of Honor ceremony today, because they were live streaming it. I watched the entire thing. Literally, from the time that they walked in the room, he introduces everybody. They give him all away, and then he dismisses them for the reception. But... It was really enjoyable to watch. He was very funny. Everybody, I loved all the participants, all their stories. It was all good. And then somebody, it was very interesting and I was trying to keep up with reading all of the remarks. It was probably a 90-10 split on 10% was all these fucking haters. And I can't tell you. I lost count at how many times the N-word or references to the N-word were used in reference to statements. Most everybody else was like, wonderful. You know, great, you know, classy, this is the best, da, da, da. And then somebody posted it, which made me laugh. Oh, God, next year it's just going to be Ted Nugent and Scott Baio.
Yeah.
I mean, swear to God, that wasn't me.
They're going to be the Presidential Freedom Award.
Well, it's kind of like the Kennedy Center Honors. Who is he going to...
That's right.
Sure. Well, I sat there watching that as well today, and I looked at Mom because I burst out laughing at a number of things in his facial expressions. And, you know, he's fantastic.
It.
And I said... Oh, fuck. For 4 years, there just will not be cool anywhere near the White House.
No, like, no one's coming around.
Because he exudes cool.
Right.
Like, everything about him just exudes cool. And I thought, and funny and kind and just, I don't know. And I thought, oh, this is fine.
I mean, he can break into Al Green when he wants to.
He sure can.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't mind.
No, he has.
No, yeah, you're right. But
it, but I've heard that. I'm saying he can do it again.
It was fun, and it was emotional. I read, I think, was it you? Was it you that posted? Maybe it was somebody else. No, actually, it was not you. But when Ellen DeGeneres went up, she was so teary-eyed and emotionally struck, and that was a big, that was a huge moment for her. You could really tell. I haven't read the story, but apparently she left the hotel today and went to the White House without her ID.
Yeah, they showed her sitting on a park bench.
Yes,
so and it said it doesn't matter who you are. Like if you don't have your ID, you are not getting into the White House. So she had to sit out there and wait. For, I mean, it didn't matter. She had to wait for someone. I don't know if it was the prez himself or what happened, but somebody had to go and go.
Michelle comes out and goes, yeah, it's her. Right. Come on.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah, she had to wait outside because Secret Service would not let her in.
So I don't. What I wonder is, that tells me, kind of tells me two things about that. A, she flew private to get from L.A. to to D.C., because she just walked into an airport, got on a plane, and took off. There was no security. There's no checking anything. She just walked on a plane and took off. So she had no ID to check. So it may be in L.A. Yeah. It wasn't just left at the hotel in Washington.
No, that's very true. It just that was funny. And what he said, though, about her was just...
Oh yeah.
I mean, I had tears in my eyes, and I kept looking like for her to just kind of lose it.
Right.
Just sitting there hearing him. And
yeah, because she's a crier as it is. She's an easy mark.
And she's an emotional. And then when she sat back down and she's wiping her tears, De Niro puts her arm around him and kisses her.
Oh,
I thought it was like, oh, look at that.
Right.
And then he gets up next you know, for his thing. It was also very funny when Kareem Abdul, who was the first one, he walks up and, you know, because there's like a three-step platform, and Obama's like, Kareem's like down here, and he goes no up here. So he stands up there, and it's, you know, it's the Tom Cruise Nicole Kidman,
yeah, totally
like that. So then Kareem leans down and tries to go back, and Brock's like no, does the whole thing, puts the medal around him. It was funny, but he got that from, because you realize, I mean, Magic Johnson, not Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul was there, and then God, why can't I think of his name?
Michael Jordan. Oh,
I'm getting a Johnson.
Who are we going for?
Michael Jordan. And I was like, damn, Michael Jordan, comparatively,
of course,
isn't tall compared to Kareem Abdul. He just is huge.
Oh, he is. He's
But in comparison, granted, he still towers over Barack. But again, that whole ceremony, I thought it was just enjoyable today to see everybody. I laughed when Diana Ross got up to do hers.
Oh, Diana Ross was there?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to find this.
Oh, you should watch the whole thing. Diana Ross, Cicely Tyson, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Hanks.
Oh, just everyone who's not going to have anything to do for four years at the White House.
I mean, it was Gates.
Bill and Melinda Gates.
And there were, I mean, a number of people.
That
will not be doing anything in the Trump administration.
The designer who won the Veterans Memorial, I forget her name, forgive me, but she's the girl who her design of the Veterans Wall.
Hamilton.
I can't think of her name. Margaret Hamilton was there too, which is the computer code.
Oh,
No, Margaret Hamilton. She actually is the one who figured out how they could land on the moon landings, because she wrote the software.
The movie's about her, right? There's a movie coming out about the mathematicians with Octavia Spencer. No.
Isn't that the one?
Was she black?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, because there's that. I thought it was about the space. I thought it was about the. I thought that was her. There's this movie coming out about the three African American mathematicians that helped with space. That helped break the space code. And I think it's Octavia Spencer that's in that one.
But again, it was enjoyable. He was very funny. I was still reading off prompter, I get, but he was very funny. He ad-libbed here and there when he needed to.
But good timing, and he always has that, kind of, even though it's up there and you can tell he's doing that, because then he knows where everyone's at, and he turns to look at them, and like, he just has great facial expressions.
He kept joking about the fact we have two great actors. One was in Space Jam, because that's what
Michael Jordan
was in. And then what's the other one?
Kareem was in Airplane.
Airplane, yes. Yeah. He goes, two stellar actors on the panel here.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you'll have to find that. It was all over the
news. Yeah, I think you'd enjoy that.
What I was going to say about Diana Ross that made me laugh was when she walked up and he said, the off-camera military gentleman who gave the little resume of what she'd done and who they were, and before the medal was placed on her, she pulled up the back of her hair, and I'm like, careful, girl. They're going to lift that wig right off your head.
Most of that is usually hers.
Like it's locked to her head?
When she does the short hair, that's...
That's a wig?
No, that's usually her.
Oh, no. She had the full Diana Ross concert hair on. Oh, okay. Yeah, she had full hair.
She had the landing with the helicopter kind of hair.
Yeah, Cicely Tyson, though, had hers. You could tell that one was a... That wasn't hers.
Right, no.
But that looked fantastic, though.
What a wonderful. Yeah, I just thought that was really cool. And the fact that I think that that'll go down as a real big moment of being able to play those things back and people being able to see that. Because that's what his 8 years, in a lot of ways, not just handing out medals or whatever, but that kind of, I don't mean to demean him by saying that kind of cool. But that
I think
really
you're demeaning him by saying that.
No, but you know what I mean? Like how many people? Oh, he's cool. But there's something very,
very cool.
Very cool about him that just makes you like want to work with him or want
to. I just want to know him. I like to hang out with him. Right.
I want
to
play basketball. I'm shorter.
The news reported after this that he has given out more medals of honor than any other president ever, and he's now, as of yesterday or today, has commuted more sentences of. I forget non-violent
criminals sure.
than the past three or four presidents combined.
Yeah,
because he just hit the 1,000 mark.
And now, can that? I don't know if you know this or if Al would know.
He can hear you.
I know. That's why I said that. and I'm pointing. But if can any of those sentences that were commuted be changed by Dickface?
No. No, I think once it's commuted,
it's done. Okay. Because I thought, I don't mean to be ignorant to it, but I am. Where when somebody comes into office, how they keep saying he's going to change so many things, and I think once
you're commuted and it's stamped and it's done, you're done.
Good, granted.
You offend or do something again,
of course, right.
Then that's on your own.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if, and that would be another if we get a lawyer on the phone. I'm sure, but I don't know how that would even work. You know how like if you do something. And if it was a commuted sentence, and let's say you get popped for something else, it's not like it's expunged from your record necessarily. So I don't know if in a trial or something, could that be used against you?
Sure.
Well, he was in prison for, or they were in prison for blah, blah, blah. So I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, I don't either. Because if you do the same thing, then, and there's salt and pepper out there if you want it.
I think it depends on how it's commuted.
Okay.
Like, is it a dropping of all charges? Is it just time served? So if you misbehave again, you're.
Is it considered a first offense, offense, a third offense?
Speaking of misbehaving, did you happen to see the post that I did? My cousin from Missouri sent me a text. He's like, you've got to find... What was it? Musical? Broadway musical names for Pence or something like that?
Oh.
That I posted where the... it was so funny.
I'll find that link because we got to read those.
Guys and Walls, Oklahoma Phobia. Like there were several that were so funny, but we'll have to find that. Yeah, but I was so thrilled that my cousin Mike sent me that he's like, you're going to die because you got to find this page.
That's funny.
And I certainly did.
I didn't realize that.
I'm going to take this opportunity to go get a plate my own self.
Good call.
So what'd you do this week?
Well, I saw two amazing performers. I guess I would say, five if I include you, Kat, and Clayton, but I'm not going to. we went on Saturday, Aaron and I did, to see Anthony Rapp at... the Scottsdale... whatever it was, and it was, God, he's a fucking nerd,
yeah.
And it's really funny, because I didn't realize that.
And a teeny tiny person.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, and his entire band is just that same bunch of nerds, that you're looking at thinking, okay, so who is just hanging out playing like Dungeons and Dragons, and then says, let's go and jam, and then they go to the garage and have their garage band. It really, but it was, God, it was great. His voice is something. What's that?
Who was that?
Anthony Rapp from the play that you, or the musical you love so much, Rent.
And he was in If Then with Idina Menzel.
So and he absolutely was. But also, I did not know this, and I was thrilled because he did like three songs of Hedwig. He was Hedwig.
Oh, back in the first
like run. 2002 or something like that. Uh-huh. I think he's like, God, I was, come on, you know. He was just, and he was funny. He's, at the end of the show, he's, yeah, so why don't we be real with each other? You know, I'm not going to go off stage right now and then wait for you to all clap for a long time and then come back. That's kind of pretentious. So I'm just going to stand here and sing a last song. And, you know, and he just, everything about him was pretty low key. It was very fun, though. And then last night, we were able to see the amazing, amazing Adele.
I'm so jealous. But I remembered when she rescheduled me right out of it. So I was like, oh, I have a shot for tickets now.
And you're going to be, going to be, or were? Mm-hmm. Okay. I just thought, oh, this is going to be something. I didn't realize it was her last show of her tour. So it was even a little bit more touching, more kind of sentimental for her. But that fucking woman is a riot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen her on things and she's funny. But this was ridiculously funny.
Like very folksy, very real.
Yeah, everything about her. I mean, she was talking about like stalking, basically, Alison Krauss. And how she said she came to my show and I followed her into the toilet and and I stood there and it was, you know, and she went everything about her singing one of her songs and saying how she said, and at the end I have this interesting key change and I belch, so I might belch at the end. It's not, you're hearing it right, it's my dinner. And just, you know, talking about her Oscar. She's like, I have an Oscar. Isn't that funny? And her laugh. And then she says, so I put it in the bathroom because I have to take a pee in the morning. And it's take a pee. I didn't. So now Aaron and I, of course, this morning had to take a pee. And she has it in the bathroom. So she said, I can just laugh and pee and look at my Oscar in the morning. Everything about her is just like wrong and perfect. Mm-hmm. And perfect. So it was really neat. It was really neat to be able to go.
And an Oscar for the one song of hers that I truly dislike.
You know, oddly, I am not a huge fan of that.
Oh, until last night. Skyfall? When
Skyfall. Until last night when she was singing it. And then I just... And the whole show was, it was just very pretty.
Now, was she big with a big orchestra? Or?
She had an orchestra behind her, but it was not seen, really. It was like... behind her eyes, to be honest with you. Like, she had this big thing of her eyes. You guys probably saw it was people posting.
Bit of scrim between between them and the... Oh, and then her band is in front of it.
Yeah. And it was just really...
But there wasn't orchestra. Like, does she... Like, how many instruments does she bring to the table? Like, is
that
she with
I'm
a gonna band
say,
or with
I didn't
an orchestra
pay attention. She had... There were, like, five or six people that are her... Five, six, seven, maybe, standard people that come out. And then three singers, backup singers... But I believe that she did have the orchestra behind.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that I paid any attention to who was back there.
Because I like when people have money to tour and like there's still cash in the bank and you can like get a big lush tour. Right.
I'm pretty sure she's got cash in the
bank.
Well,
and she doesn't hide any of that. She's like, no.
But
they also
don't spend it there because they want to make... Tours are one ways that you make money.
Oh.
The record business, you don't, because everybody buys fucking Pandora and streams are shit for $9.99 a month. So.
Well, and Anant just said Adele is the only artist who just sings.
I love
quote
that
unquote,
about
on
her.
Stage.
Yeah.
I do too. And the thing is, I'm going to add to it, it was damn near like going to a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she talked, she's like, some of you are going to be real mad by the end of this because I might miss like two or three songs because I just talk and talk and talk. She talks 100 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with her accent, I was picking up like every other word here and there.
She is a little hard to understand.
She is. But just truly a delight.
She's not from the posh part of London.
Well, she talked about, is there, like, I don't know which part is the posh part. Is there's the north and south? No?
I just talk about her accent.
I'm just saying, because like, she said,
she
I lived
has
in
a
the
Cockney
north,
accent,
and like, I lived in the south. and something about kind of meeting in the middle with some friends. So I wondered that actually, if there was a, like, this is the north or the south, which is the good part and which is the other side of the tracks.
Oh, no, but
it'd be fun to remake My Fair Lady with her and teach her, you know, have her ditch that Cockney.
For real.
I'm just making fun because I find it delightful.
Yes.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Especially when she uses words that you're like, what?
Well, and then she's tight and she just cusses like a sailor. Uh-huh. So, of course, I fall more in love. And she's...
you're swearing my song, lady.
You're swearing my song. That's right. And just hysterical. And cuss words and cuss words and fuck all over the place. And then she walks, because she started like at the back where really where we were. We were directly up from the stage, had fantastic tickets. And there was a small stage out there, and that's where she rose up. And hello, you know, whatever. And then she walks up front. She brought a couple up on stage that had their 39th wedding anniversary. Took a selfie with them. Was taking selfies with other people. Was putting on. She's just a fucking nutcase. And it was just fantastic. And she was walking back out toward the end of her show, and she ended it, or was going to end it, like back where she had started. And she said, so on the way back out here, I noticed that there were a lot of little ones. And I have just been, well, I'll try to clean up my fucking mouth. I'll try to clean up my mouth. And God, it was just, and then she just kept swearing. And then she'd be like, you know.
When I saw Kelly Clarkson early in the Kelly Clarkson days. And she was so sweet at the end of it. Like, she would, like, prepared whatever the encore was be. And I guess this girl never heard of hands-free mic, because she had a handheld mic and had every person come up while she sang the last two songs and signed autographs, posed for selfies were back in that year, 2003, 2004, or however they did that. But I mean, she posed for pictures, signed, and she just sat on the edge of the stage and people marched up like the March of the Siamese Children from The King and I, and that shit went on forever, and she hit, like, every note in the song. Like, she'd have them hold when something got particularly, like, difficult, and did a little, like, vocal business, and then back to doing it. I mean, she was very, it was a very charming, very gracious country girl, makes good, and is going to be nice to the fans.
Sure. Which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you know how it should be, I think. It's just very fun because when people get so full of themselves.
Uh-huh.
And that was what was fantastic. She's kind of full of herself, but laughs it the fuck off. Just, you know, she's right. Like, no, by the way, aren't they great back here? I mean, sorry I put you behind the screen. And
she strikes me as somebody who, she's as surprised to be there as anybody.
Right.
Like, sure. she was this girl who just sang, and she thought, you know, I had an okay voice, and all of a sudden, she's doing world tours, and everybody wants her, and she's winning, you know, Grammy Awards and Oscars. And
stuff.
And I'm like, I think she's kind of like, look at me, I'm up here.
Yeah, exactly.
She's kind of surprised.
Well, and that was what was so fun. And that laugh of hers, I think, if anything, is what I love the absolute most. Take away the singing, right?
Yeah.
But it, because she just gets
a lot of money to pay to hear somebody laugh.
Laugh.
She
That's
just
true.
Gets a big fucking kick out of herself. So if she wants to go do stand-up, I'm fine with that. And just to hear her laugh. Because she's out
maybe,
there.
Maybe her next tour.
It could be. She says something about putting the, you know, sorry that the band has to be back there. They're good looking, aren't they? That's fine. But you all are here to see me. I'm just laughing again. And just, she's up there knee slapping things. She's just great. And she is. And gets away with it. So that was very fun. That was very, very fun. So the end. It was good.
Because when she canceled the first time, and there was all those people that weren't going to be able to come back because of, like, travel dates and stuff.
I'm from
like,
Finland.
So they
I'm
said there,
wherever,
yeah. They said there were seats available.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all set to snatch them up, but we had just gotten the
confirmation of
the
your
season tickets in L.A.
Right.
And I'm like, I am not dashing back and forth show to show. Like,
right.
And I'm so glad because it would have been so exhausting.
Well, and I had looked for you and your mom, and I couldn't find any. But then we saw Daniel Ray.
Who had just bought them at 4:30 yesterday?
Right,
I was looking
for $25 bucks above.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa.
I was pissed because I was online yesterday looking, thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, okay, there's people who canceled, couldn't go, decided. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them were ludicrously priced. I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
Right,
but I guess I didn't look in the right spot because I thought how wonderful.
Yeah.
To just last minute. Hey, mom, guess what? We're going. Boom. Yep. Yeah. But yeah, it didn't work out. So I said, so I
$200 and some odd.
So yeah. I did a couple projects around the house and put on a live album of hers and enjoyed it as much as I could.
Yeah. It's smart. It's very smart. So that was my week. It was really good.
That's not
bad. Yeah.
That is not a bad week.
I didn't mind it.
And Madonna had done a few tours ago. Madonna did the thing where she added surprise dates in all kinds of cities to fuck with scalpers.
Okay, right. Oh. I remember that now that you say that.
So that the night of her shows, seats were available for like face value.
Sure.
It's like because the scalpers got screwed.
Sure. That's fantastic. Yeah.
I wish there were other ways to do that.
But now scalping is just a profession.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. But how do they, I mean, with the robot kind of thing, and how do you...
Pay homeless people to stand in line and buy tickets. That's one way.
It just pisses me off.
Where are they selling tickets standing in line?
No, but I mean, but box office is open, so you can go stand in line places and get them. But you're right. I mean, most of it is done all online.
Right. That's what I want someone in New York to do for me, is to avoid Ticketmaster and go down to... the Hamilton box office and be like, what's the next time you have two seats together? You are the box office. You are in charge.
Right.
Ticketmaster is reselling their own shit.
Right.
When is the next time you, as the primary ticket seller in person, have two seats available for what it's supposed to cost? However obnoxious the ticket price of, you know.
That has been one of my favorite things this past week, is the boycotting of Hamilton.
Oh, and everybody like, if you're boycotting, can I have your tickets?
Yeah.
No, the other one is...
Nobody's boycotting.
How do you boycott something you can't get tickets to?
Right, that's true. Yeah. If my Republican friends who are lucky enough to have scored seats to Hamilton will please give them to me so I can help them boycott.
And did you hear the other thing that I thought was quite funny? And it was one of the news sources that said it, and I meant to pull it up, and I'm sure we can find it. So the brainiac Trump supporters who... We're all offended about the whole.
How about if I spell strike?
The whole, you know, Pence being called out in the audience, yada yada yada. Who, by the way, was not booed by the cast of Hamilton, was booed by the audience.
And
the
message from the cast of Hamilton to him, as he walked away from them and didn't stay to listen to their message, was very polite.
Yes.
He did hear the whole thing supposedly.
But he was already outside.
He was already outside, right? But I mean,
maybe that was the thing for safety.
Yeah.
To get him out as fast as possible.
Because I don't think he didn't get up when they started it.
No, but usually when they do something like that, it's curtain call. You're still standing and clapping, and then they hush you down and do their Broadway cares or whatever they're going to do.
That's true.
So what I'm imagining is there may have been something for the Secret Service to get him out in cut in that traffic. And then what they said was very respectful. And
he read it
from the vestibule or whatever.
And he's made a comment and said that he thought so as well. Let people, you know.
So the point of my story was he was not booed by the cast, booed by the audience, yada, yada, yada. Well, all the Trump supporters who were against him, against those Hamilton people. Well, they all started emailing and calling the Hamilton Theater in Canada and started giving them shit because that's where they thought it was all coming from.
Yeah.
Didn't even realize he's in fucking New York, dumbass. Don't you pay attention to where any of this? No, they do not. Clearly pay attention. But the poor Hamilton Theater in Canada got barraged by emails and phone calls from people who were irate.
Oh, and I really do need to find out if Hamilton, Ontario is named after him.
No.
I should Google that.
We should look that up.
It's you have it right in the area at your fingertips, huh?
I know, I don't care.
Is that how that's worked? I don't know.
It is. If Kat was here, she would already be on it.
Yeah.
She's probably laying on the couch right now Googling shit.
So
let us know. Let us know, Kat, if you're out and about, would you?
Could you shoot us those facts?
Well, I had a fun week of first calling in sick for 2 days. Mental exhaustion.
Mm. That's one way to put it.
A little bit of problems with the seizure meds.
Okay.
A little unexpected. So I was like, you know what? I really shouldn't drive or go anywhere. I'm just going to stay home for a couple days.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, that was way overreacting to what was a minor problem that was really fixed by Tuesday night at the latest. I was like, yeah, I'm still not sure. Let's just take 2 days off.
Okay.
It was really mental health.
I understand that.
But I was truly exhausted because I did a class all last week from 8 to 5 before I came here.
That's right.
So by the time Wednesday came around and I had a dentist appointment and they were fucking around with my mouth, I was like, I'm just tired.
Seriously, what a week. That's gross.
I was like, I can't do this days.
I would have asked for gas and then like, I'm out.
And fuck then that. I would have asked for that needle in my arm.
So I found out my hot dentist quit. Well, not quit, but he moved somewhere else. So now I have to find out how to break up with them. But you mostly see your dental hygienist. Right. She's very sweet, but I was there to look at him.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. He was very attractive.
Well, how did you figure out where he went?
Okay, I guess he went to Sun City West or so. I'm sure you could Google Dr. Peoples, but he is real hot. Real, real hot.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, you brought that up before, and we have Googled him on this show.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, he's lovely. So I got to find out who Mark Martinez is stalking now from a dentist point of view, because that's how I found him. And then it was off to L.A., and... We have season tickets for the Pantages in Hollywood, their theater season, and it kicked off with Hedwig and the Angry Inch with Darren Criss as Hedwig.
I did see that. I guess I thought you were back in time, but for the other, but
and I could have been, but I would have had to leave the next day. Yeah. So I got to see Harrison's new home. I had not been to visit her since she moved into her new, it's called a Quonset hut or something like that. And she kind of lives like. In a rural part of Altadena, like up in the San Gabriel Mountains, like as Altadena goes higher into the foothills of the San Gabriels.
Okay.
So it was a nice, quiet place, kind of hidden. We had a lovely time, and the show. And Aaron and his boyfriend Mitchell met up with us.
I saw that. What a nice picture that was. I did see that.
So that's had dinner, and then
Harrison looked beautiful.
Yeah, she was very lovely, and everyone was very nice. And my friend Shane was down from Seattle because, in a weird turn of events, he's dating a guy in Glendale.
Okay.
Which is the next city kind of over from Pasadena, where Aaron lives, and then Harrison's just up the hill in Altadena, slightly higher Dina. And
if Meow Cal's listening, could you please put that on the map?
Yeah, halfway Dina. So they were down, and Shane was really in town to go to Magic Mountain and do a car show, and they had Saturday night free, so they got Hedwig tickets as well.
Okay.
So we met Aaron and Mitchell for dinner first, then we all went to the Pie Hole after the show and had some pie, six of us. It was very nice. Just got to meet Shane's new boyfriend, got to meet Aaron for the first time, and his boyfriend. It was a charming evening.
I love it. That's so cool.
And because, you know, so I switched over to daytime to play along with everyone, and so at 10:30 I was fucking exhausted. So it was very nice. Harrison leads a walkers group called in Pasadena. So they meet up and they walk like 3.8 miles, which is like 6K.
Fucking overachievers?
Yeah, so it was nice.
I mean, good for them.
Early,
that's awesome.
Early Saturday morning walk, and we saw...
So you're doing an AIDS walk twice this year, then.
Yeah. And the second one was longer, with hills.
Yes.
Because this is in the hills of, you know, in Pasadena. So there was some big honking hills in that motherfucker. But that was nice. And then rained all day Sunday, which was nice for them. They had a good... Actually, it was probably like 14, 15 hours of soaker rain. So.
Oh, good. They need that.
Oh, we got it, too.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so then you got it. Yeah, did you get it Sunday or Monday?
Monday, I feel like. No. Yeah, no, it was Sunday into Monday. Sunday into Monday.
It was both, because when I woke up, I remember thinking it was overcast and gray for a Sunday fun day.
Yeah.
And then it rained on and off. Yeah, because,
And it was a nice soaker. So driving home today, there was... snow on the peaks of the San Gabriels, because yesterday was a little bit nicer, but the because we were going to go to Santa Monica, maybe walk on the beach. I'm like, this weather's shitty, let's just we walked her hilly neighborhood. But today when I and the clouds the were like sitting time. Right on top of, you know, the dark clouds were sitting right over the peaks of the San Gabriel. So today when you went, there was there was a little bit of snow up there. I mean, not enough to make a difference, but it's fucking November. Settle down. Absolutely. Give it time.
Well, I was just in Denver.
Fucking November.
When I was in Denver 2 weeks ago, there was snow on the top of the Rockies. You could still see it. Not a lot, but there was some.
Oh, there's always snow. That doesn't go away.
So now do they sing the song differently
that's there
now?
In May.
Rocky Mountain High?
Yeah.
It's not everywhere.
I know. Well, it's Rocky Mountain. Not well. I always talk about John Denver. Rocky Mountain. Not quite high enough.
No, not at all. Love it when you fucking
pull out the plane. Pull up the nose. Pull up the nose.
Well, that didn't go well.
Enough with the experimental planes, John.
We can cancel Denver for the next Muppet movie.
Yeah.
But yeah. We got a spot to fill.
Waka, waka, waka.
But when I was at Red Rocks, I'm like, what t-shirt did I pick? I don't have the Red Rocks t-shirt on. When I was at Red Rocks in, it's near Golden. It's not in Golden. I can't think of what little town that is. But in the back of the Red Rocks amphitheater, in place where crazy people go to exercise and most people go to just sit and watch a concert or church. They had a little John Denver museum.
Oh.
That was quite charming. And a beautiful views, like a beautiful perch that overlooks, like, I think you're looking west out over the, you know, through the valleys of the Rockies. And it's just gorgeous. And you have this beautiful little celebration of
Mr. Denver.
John Denver.
Interesting.
So while I was there, I bought like 10 of his songs that I remembered, and it turns out I really like the John Denver.
I have to tell you, I love the John Denver.
Yeah,
I agree.
I love John Denver. I just, every time I hear it, you just kind of, you know.
And it was good.
It feels good. It's like a little feel-good music.
So when I flew up there, when I was in Colorado Springs this year, I listened to a little extra while we were driving around.
When in Rome.
Is it Annie's song?
Annie's song. Is that beautiful.
What's the one about I'm sorry for the way things are in China? Is that Annie's song? But I also
we'd have to look that up because that's not a lyric I remember at all.
Yeah, we got to look that up.
Yeah.
So it was a really, really fun weekend. And Annie's song is You Fill Up My Senses.
It's called I'm Sorry.
China? God damn it, I was going to have it first. It was a John Denver song called I'm Sorry, where he honestly feels free to apologize for everything.
That's funny.
So, the lyrics are... where's the side? I'm sorry for the way things are in China. I'm sorry things ain't what they used to be. But more than anything else, I'm sorry for myself because you're not here with me. My God.
That was not one of the songs I bought.
It's a real tearjerker. Super sorry, China.
Yeah.
Super sorry.
Super sorry, China.
Totes sorry.
Oh, but speaking of totes, that was something I wanted to tell you guys about Adele. She's like, apparently when she was in Texas, you know, her son, she got all kinds of the belt buckle and the hat and all this. And and the kid is all about it now. And she said, and, you know, having been here for this tour, I'm becoming more American in my speech. And she said, and she got rid of the accent. And she said, so I'll be walking around all British-y, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, and I look up and say, that's totes adorbs. And I'm like, wait a minute. She became Katie June right there on stage. It was really cute.
Could be.
Yeah, it was really cute.
And yes, I do have to report that I finally had Indian food.
Oh, I did read you post that.
From a really charming, and Aaron, you got to go to that restaurant.
I'm really surprised that was new to you, only because I figured you're a lot more foodie and traveled than I.
Well, I had only ever tried Indian food one time, and I didn't have I did not have a good Indian food docent. Just about everybody that went with us that time was vegetarian and weird shit. So it was like tofu and sauce. Like, I did not understand what we were eating.
Okay.
Because make sure you go with somebody who knows how you eat. And so I just didn't have a buddy system there to be like, well, that's, you know. And so I left there not knowing, like, do they eat any? Are they all vegetarian? Like, is tofu the food of their people? But then yesterday on the menu, I saw a tofu item I would have ordered.
Oh.
Because I decided to look because I felt like that's all we had.
Okay.
The time that I went. And I felt like it was just bread and sauce, which turns out you don't really need. Like, the bread, delicious, whatever that is. The rice, delicious, but it really doesn't need either one. Like, because I don't really like rice. I'm not a big fan. But the rest was delicious. Tandoori chicken, which I had had before.
Yeah, I
everybody
really
tries
like
to
that.
Claim tandoori chicken.
I like that.
That's kind of like the turkey of their food. Like, it really is like the mac and cheese of the Indian
world. You have a sweet and sour chicken. All right, calm down.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's a nice, gateway in. Okay. Yeah.
I have tried so many things tofu, and I can't. Like, I have not been able to find.
I probably
texture.
Have had it. I just don't remember.
The texture for me just kind of... it's not about a taste, because I'm quite certain it doesn't have one.
It doesn't have
one. Mm. But it's just that texture. Texture is a big deal. And so I've really attempted, and I just can't get
so this was called the Mint Leaf. So let me see if I can.
That's the name of the place you went in Pasadena.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And so we had the tandoori chicken. We had like a chicken tikka masala, which was delicious. We had a lamb dish that was really, really nice.
It wasn't bad.
No.
Lamb
vindaloo.
Ooh.
That was tasty. It had potatoes in it for some reason.
They had potatoes to a lot of things, I think.
Yeah, but it was very good.
Which is delightful. Don't get me wrong.
We had some samosas, and then we had... I don't know what the hell the... I don't know what the vegetarian item was, but that was good too. And it's like, and you can control the spice.
Mm-hmm.
So like
different levels.
We went medium all the way across because I didn't want to like get something and find out like it just tastes like fire.
Right.
Because I've eaten with people at Thai food that I'm like, there's no taste to this. Like
it's just fire.
Yeah, you're just eating something that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's why God made cheese, comfort foods. So it was very delicious.
Got it.
Interesting.
With Harrison's very interesting friend who's a forensic psychologist or forensic psychiatrist. I can't remember which.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what I would have done. I would have had so many questions.
Yeah. And so, you know.
Oh, my God. Come on. Bones? And like, you know, like not just bones, but I mean like that kind of thing.
Yeah. A little taste of like the criminal mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's right up my alley. I'm like, tell me a story.
I know, right?
So, you know,
have you met Dexter?
Yeah.
Well, I've met someone like Dexter.
And I mean, we had to have samosas because I was starving and ready to like eat someone's arm off. So we had to get something that I could like shove in my mouth while we waited for like the rest of the people to come. Plus, I like samosas, but it was it was really funny because we did a really long walk up and down the hills of Altadena, and then we went to the downtown part, the little shopping area, shopped around. I got some stuff I needed to do done. And then it was time to like go pick up dinner, but we still had like an hour before our Cindy was joining us. And I'm like, I'm going to eat some bricks. Like, I'm about to eat grass out of a planter. I'm so hungry. And it was kind of like funny. Tonight, where like you could all talk about it, but that thing just went off, and I'm getting some food.
I know,
I'm hungry.
I saw that. I was like, wow, how about that?
Because I drove here, and I got back, and I cooked, but I haven't eaten. You know what I mean?
And I haven't either. I made some cookies for you.
Oh, I know. I've been eyeing those up.
Do you know what they are?
That looks like it's snickerdoodles in the top.
It is. Mm-hmm. Fresh snickerdoodles with a ground up Heath bar.
Oh, God damn.
I'm just saying.
God damn.
Now, I don't know if I did it very well, because I think they should have been a little bit chewier.
Does it have butter and cinnamon on it?
Duh.
You're done.
Yeah. But, I mean, I thought they should have been a little chewier, but it's okay, because I wasn't completely mad. And I wanted to stop and get milk, so that if people wanted that, but you do, okay.
I have a full gallon. And I bought eggnog today, because it's my first.
Oh, yay. I was going to bring that, too.
To me, that's the season. For me, when I get the flavor of eggnog, gets me like, all right, we're here. I'm still tired of the season, but I got eggnog, so I'm partially happy.
Totally agree. I totally agree.
You go out into the public even less than I do. How are you sick? Like, I have barely seen anything Christmas.
Oh, like, God.
I go to Home Depot often. Right? It's all over the fucking place there.
Not the eggnog. Oh,
huh? That whole goddamn section.
Like, is somebody going to get a drill for...
like lights and the...
Oh, no. Like, when you walk Christmas in...
I shouldn't have asked, because I have...
I agree. I do, too.
Like, in the summer, I realize you don't walk into Home Depot as often, but when you do, when you walk into a typical Home Depot, the floor plan is as such... When you walk in, to your immediate left is going to always be whatever season. So they have tropical plants and then like, you know, outdoor furniture, and they have all the stuff that would be for summer and spring, right? So then as the seasons progress along, then you get into the fall and they start changing with different things. Well, now, motherfuck, they started a month ago, and the entire thing is just the whole North Pole threw up. And everything sparkles and blinks.
You are at a place that you go to buy shit for your house. And
Right. But it's a little much.
How do we get eggnog to Amina? I have to send Amina.
I don't know what to tell you, Amina.
I would send it to you.
We've tried to ship international before, and it has not gone well. In fact, he doesn't even listen anymore.
He got mad because he didn't think we sent Pop-Tarts.
I emailed him back.
I promise.
I don't. There's recipes out there for eggnog.
How can
you not get eggnog?
Yeah, you can make it and have attempted.
Is that just an American thing?
It doesn't go well.
Or is it? I guess
I
would
don't
be,
think so. European but like be, Puerto Rican people with a like Puerto Rican eggnog, but that's where they're
it's like a thicker horchata.
Yes, but that's where with the Puerto Rican rum, it's putting in or Puerto Rican eggnog, they're putting in rum. And it's a boozy one. God, that one's real good.
Still good. I'm not mad at that.
I might be on board with that
one. No. Like, I'm not lying. That one's real fucking good.
Yeah,
RFG.
Yeah, and it's not...
Damn!
It's not a... it's not something I would ever put in my mouth unless you really made it mostly whiskey or rum.
Right. Oh, I love it. Cold and just drink it straight. Oh, I love it.
Me too.
Yeah. And I don't know. I remember when I was younger, like I would be in probably in my very early teens when I first had my first sampling of it at a grandmother's house for around the holidays. And I was like, this is lovely.
Sure.
They were all drinking it with booze, and I just liked it regular without it. I don't think I've ever had it with booze in it.
Awesome.
I think you tried it when I was over at your mom's, like I had it.
Oh, with maybe so.
A little bit of brandy in it, but.
It's not my deal. I'm not a brandy person anyway.
No.
How are you going to taste brandy over eggnog? You can put gasoline in there and all you taste was eggnog.
So, speaking of which, because I was going to say something about Brandy the Singer just to be funny, but it's not funny anyway.
You're a fine girl.
But
boy is
which
mine.
Brings me to Ray J.
Oh, wow.
We can go to Ray J even. So I'm watching
Do you like eggnog?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Ray J is related to him somehow, right?
Brandy.
Right.
Ray J. Brother.
Brother.
Yeah. Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I see the resemblance now.
Yeah. So, well, they're both black.
Completely wrong.
I don't know otherwise. Anyway, so.
That was the joke right there. That was the joke.
Anand. I'll have to give you, explain to you exactly how to make them. They're brilliant.
Oh, my God. Where do you live?
Well,
where,
India.
Where
India.
Do you people live?
All right, now I have to ask a culturally sensitive question.
Yeah.
Do they drink milk in India?
I would assume goat's milk. Would that be right, Anand?
That's
like
true.
Like a
anything that's got a nipple can make milk. Can you milk me?
What?
We have a story coming up later, oddly, that kind of.
Can you? You're a sick fucker.
No, it's from the Fockers.
I don't care.
And Robert De Niro says,
right.
Can you milk me?
Yeah, I've been still. It's uncomfortable.
It is.
It is.
Because all you need is potatoes, butter.
No, it should be potatoes, butter, sour cream, should be vitamin D milk, and a little half and half, just because.
What the hell?
Oh, fuck yeah, that's what you're eating.
Well, what's wrapped around the corn in there?
I use cream cheese.
Oh, that's cream cheese. Cream cheese. Cream cheese and butter. Everything is low fat.
Sure it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I was not sure how that would work.
That's
but
correct,
Amina. We do recall that part of that story from the sex tape because our first show was called "Who the Hell's Ray J?"
That's right.
Because
he was in every story
right,
for a while.
He
was with Whitney, wasn't he? Ray J is the one that like found Whitney or did something.
Yeah, and then we found out that he was the sex tape with, someone.
Kardashian,
the fat one.
Yeah,
the Kardashian, the big girl,
the booty.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Absolutely. Anyway, I'm watching this show, Notorious. It's a new show with, and it's really pretty bad. But it just, you know, it's one of those things that just takes up some
glowing
time.
Endorsement from Marty Ryer.
I enjoy it, but meh. You don't need a mixer.
Yes, you do.
No, you do not.
You absolutely do.
I use the masher. That whole thing is done, and you mix it.
No, I want your first mashed potatoes to be like a meringue. Like
yes, I want
them.
It to be whipped.
Stiff and whipped. They're all delightful.
The stiffer and the whippier,
the
better.
Oh, he says he knows how to make them, just hasn't had them. This is interesting.
Well,
I don't
what the
know
hell?
Where to go with that. So as I'm watching this show, all of a sudden, they come up with this line. It was about people going in and celebrity break-ins or something. And and they said, like, Ray J's house was robbed. And I'm like, what the fuck? And here comes Ray J at a press engagement where he's like, yeah, my house was robbed and this was taken. I thought, and underneath it, it says Ray J's house robbed. And I burst out laughing because, you know, like you do, because it's funny to me. I'll just tell that story about that Virginia family.
I don't understand why that story was funny to you.
Because it was Ray J. Like, who talks about Ray J? Nobody.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Except apparently me, and that's all. The end.
All right. I was like, where is she going with this? What was that about?
Nobody talks about Ray J.
All right.
I still don't know what he looks like.
Black guy.
He's black.
Pretty brown eyes.
He looks a lot like Brandy from what
really
Clayton
helpful.
Says.
I mean,
it was a little difficult. Granted, it was a little difficult to really see him well in that sex tape because she was pretty much front and center.
Now you can't see much around that.
Yeah, we're all around her face.
Well, we'll
dig that up for you, Alfie.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've made it this far. Good God. We're going to try to make it a little further.
We should have two commercials.
We're going to do our little break. We're going to come back with the drinking disclaimer, and maybe by then Al can figure out what the hell we're doing. I mean, none of the rest of us have, so it doesn't really matter. So where the hell's my, oh, God damn it. My cursor. I couldn't find my cursor. Now we got it. Now we're good to go. Let's see if we can make magic happen. Here we are. It's Q Talk America. Oh, my God.
Hey, girl. You okay?
You're listening to Q Talk America.
And now, we dance.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network. And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but... If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our drinking, we're just going to be turkey.
Oh.
Because it's Turkey Palooza.
It is.
We're in the middle of Kat's 13 days of turkey.
Oh, it is. Oh, yes. I was, if we don't have her to bounce off of to ask her these important questions about how Turkey Palooza is going.
I've only seen one post for day one of Turkey Palooza.
Which was when? Monday?
Sunday.
Sunday. Okay. Well, she'll be with us next week. So we can catch up and find out. Oh, you know what? I haven't had
hopefully she'll be bringing us some turkey leftovers.
I haven't sampled into my Cheddar Bay biscuit yet, Al. I feel like I'm a little remiss on that. I'll get there. Mm. I'll get there because they're good. Do you have more of that mix at home?
That was the last box. We got to order more.
I have to get some more because Mom wants.
Amazon is standing by.
Okay, good for them. I should just order those tomorrow and have them delivered to Mom's house. Just the boxes. She can just do it herself.
All you need is butter and shredded cheese.
Oh, that's what you have to add. You have to have an addition.
Well, and water.
Oh, well,
I'm
water.
Assuming running water.
Traditional
is a part
spelling.
Of, yeah. I'm assuming if you're ordering things offline, like turkey, you should have running water.
Oh, well, she does. She does. In fact, she has a lot of it. Let me tell you a little story. She got her. We emptied the pool, got chlorine washed, refilled the pool. It's crystal clear. It's all good. We're back in business. Oh my gosh, that was a lot she had to go through with that. But a lot of running water to fill that motherfucker. Let me tell you that much. Oh, heaven's sakes.
All right, and here we go. And Aaron Harvey created the variant cover. So Aaron just put in a link for the Star Wars.
Oh, the comic book cover he did with finally previewed.
Oh, the Green Lantern one.
Yeah, well, there's a link in the chat room for it.
Star Trek, the Green Lantern. I feel like those are two different things.
I wonder if I can find, hang on a minute. Oh, I don't have the chat room on. Oh, I know how to do it to myself.
Oh, they've combined two stories.
Where is...
Well, that's a cool cover. Congratulations.
Where is that? Oh, here it is. Boom. I have to do a roundabout way to get to it, but I'm going to do it.
You do it.
Marty's very busy in there trying to cook something. I have to send it to myself, Aaron, in one medium, and then I have to bring it over here and do it in the other to get it onto the... There's a lot... If we had producers...
There's a lot involved.
If we had producers who actually did this show from a technical aspect and I didn't have to do it, this would all go so much better.
Luckily, if I had just read the thing on the bottom, I would have gotten the whole synopsis of why those two things were in the same story. Will Kirk find the home of the Green Lantern first?
Oh, I can't do that. You never know.
Or will the people named in the next sentence do it?
People...
Captain Kirk was as many names as I was memorizing from that story.
Oh, here we go, Aaron. I hope this does it justice. That's the link the picture. Is that the whole cover?
No, that's not the cover he did. You got to scroll down.
Oh, well, hell. I went to all that trouble for a cover that wasn't even yours, Aaron. I'm terribly sorry.
Well, we don't know about that picture, but the one that he did that was a cover is the one down below for the Green Lantern Star Trek crossover.
Stand by. Oh, that one. Stand by. Hold on. Everybody just calm the fuck down. As Wolf
Eat
Blitzer,
your turkey.
As Wolf Blitzer would say, everybody stand by. Mm-hmm. Everybody just stand by.
We have breaking news.
Oh, my God. Did you see? You haven't seen the skit on Ellen. I wanted to show it, but it's 3 minutes long. That where for the holidays, you can now get a moderator from a presidential debate to come to your house to moderate Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because inevitably politics is going to come up, you know, during dinner. And so Wolf Blitzer is on the thing and he's sitting at the table and he says, Aunt Pearl, you got 30 seconds, Aunt Pearl, you got 30 seconds. Your time is up. Uncle Gary, come on. So he goes through the whole thing and finally at the end he stops. Everybody goes, I'm Wolf Blitzer.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if, like, he would fact check your relatives?
There's a fact check. There's a fact check in the thing too.
That would be fantastic.
Oh, it's a little. One of the grandmothers has her glasses on top of her head, and she goes, "Well, I heard that he's taught everybody to steal." And he goes, "No, sorry, Aunt Madge, that's completely false." Well, where did my glasses go? They're on your head. And her face just changes. It was very funny. Maybe I can dig that up and we can play it, because it was really, really cute.
And the best part of this time of year is when everybody starts playing the Les Nessman reporting from the promotional event.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
And somebody, the other day, it must be on YouTube, has, like, the whole clip from him, like, trying to broadcast from in front of the grocery store or the market and blocking the door. All the way through the last line of the episode, covered in feathers, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. And it's like, it's so random and so well written and so bizarrely random.
It was so funny. Well, actually, the one who says I believe turkeys could fly was Mr. Carlson. Right, not Les Nessman.
He was the one throwing them out of the
helicopter.
Because he comes back to the station covered in feathers.
Him and Herb Tarlick. Mm-hmm. The two of them. Herb Tarlick. Here's the cover. This is
at the end. It was just pandemonium.
There's the cover that Aaron from the chat room has created. The Green Lantern Star Trek Stranger Worlds cover. Very cool.
Very cool.
Very nice. We know a celebutant. I mean, aside from us, we know there's a lot going on. Very, very busy with all that. I feel like something else happened over here that I should have done. Are we ready, Marn? Can we pull this off or no?
Well, I think so, but.
Yeah. Turkeys.
You guys should talk for one second.
Our drinking word is turkeys.
You guys should find something.
I swear to God, when I was in the Apple Store today,
well, do you want me to read?
There were people with
it's
that.
It's coming.
I'm going to look up the Ellen DeGeneres thing about the moderator, and you do something out, and then we'll just play all of it.
Well, I was going to do Pence musicals.
Oh, read those. Those are funny.
So the hashtag is called Name a Pence Musical. Is if you want to go and find them.
It's on the hashtag for Twitter.
Yeah, the hashtag for Twitter.
Twitter.
Twana.
Whatever.
So I found this one. So, Annie, get your IUD before January 20th. Oklahoma phobia, deport Miss Saigon are my two favorites.
That was a good one, ones. Too.
Let me get
guys in walls.
I know, I gotta get somewhere where I can.
Oh, fuck. Funny. And they're made up just by random people. They're not like, it's not like
a
website.
It's a challenge that everybody's doing on Twitter. It went out as a challenge. for the love of the Lord, Christ Almighty. All right, I got to get out of this. I got to go back to Facebook. So the one that I overheard in the theater was Rent, but not to those people. The Sound of Music dying. Here we go. Name a Pence musical. Sorry, I was trying to find my way through hashtags. Les Deplorables. Les Deplorables, I guess you would have to say.
Yes.
Very funny.
Well, this is really hard to get to because everything's a link to a link to a link to a link.
It's not one of the hashtags.
The Grand Wizard of Oz. Little Cabinet of Horrors. 6 degrees of segregation.
Oh, that's a good one.
A funny thing happened on the way to the Muslim registry. All our rights gone with the wind. How to succeed at bigotry without really trying.
Yes, that's a good one.
The Book of Moron. The fascist on the roof. The KK King and I.
How great are those?
Annie, get your back alley abortion. Gay Miserable. How to succeed in politics without being qualified. Bigot and the Beast. An American in Canada.
Bigot is the Beast, as it should be. Oh.
Those are enjoyable.
Oh, so funny. It's the hashtag is Name a Pence Musical.
Oh, that was so funny. And again, totally surprising. My cousin sent me that link, and I was sitting at my desk, and I just jumped right on, and immediately just started laughing, and thought, "Oh, I've got to include this." And
rising in the Klan. The color white.
The Lion KK King. That's so funny.
Yeah, they're really
red, but not to those people.
So it came up in the theater after the show because the good thing about Hedwig is that it's a kind of a drag show. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little bit of a concert. So there's a lot. It's just a one-man show. Like, the band is up there with Hedwig, but it's just Hedwig with a band.
Okay.
And a backup singer that interacts a little bit more than him, a little bit more with him. So he's got to, like, riff with the audience, and he goes out and, like, dances on some people. He has a little, he'll start a joke in the beginning of the show and, like, play on it through the whole night. The opening night of with Neil Patrick Harris was all about the ghost of the theater, and did anybody see the ghost? But this one, and it changes so much, and it was so current that Saturday night, it was about Pence at a musical.
Mm.
Like, he was right on
wow.
it. And so it had Trump jokes, but it had, I mean, it was as current as that day as far as the updating of it. So, and then, like, the one thing about Hedwig in a theater that big is that it really is an intimate show. It really should be seen. You know, back in the early 2000s, it was at the Jane Street Theater. It was at a little old church that where they brought the Titanic survivors when they first came to New York. And it's a shitty old rundown piece of business, but it's very small and very intimate. So you felt like you were at a show where, you know, come to Hedwig, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But this is a giant theater, so it kind of dwarfs how the interaction with an audience member when you can't see the audience member. You know, it's kind of strange.
Sure.
But that made it funny. And then, so after the show, people were talking about that Kiss Me Regardless of Constant Gate. Regardless of Consent Gate. That's funny.
That is good, Aaron.
Really funny.
You're a good man, Charlie, unless you're
broke. Racist in the Sun. Those are very funny.
And they,
awful, but very funny.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, and that's where, like, people were talking about it, and I had just heard, like, earlier in the day, The Sound of Music Dying, and then the one guy was like, rent, but not to those people.
Not to those people.
So that came from a men's room in L.A. As so many of our stories do.
Sure, a lot of them do. How did Darren Criss look in person?
Oh, he's very...
I don't know.
He's a very attractive man.
Oh, of course he is.
And because you're, you know, he's in heels the whole show, running across the stage, jumping up and down levels, running into the audience, he's, like, fit as a fiddle.
Sure he is.
And all he has on in the very last scene is they're just in little tiny...
Daisy Duke shorts, right?
No, like little briefs, just little... Oh. Not quite tidy whiteys, but just slightly bigger than tidy whiteys in black. So they're showing everything.
Just, like, whiteys?
Yeah.
They're not the tighties?
Well, no, they're not white.
Oh.
It's like a black brief that he's in at the end. So he's pretty much as naked you could be without seeing, like, you can see his butt crack, but you can't see his dick. I mean, you can see the top of his butt.
Well,
crack.
There you have it. That's the review of Hedwig from Hell.
And that's what I said when we saw Neil Patrick Harris. He was so skinny. Like, you could tell that, like... But he was the best mover of all of them. Like Darren Criss.
But Neil Patrick Harris has always been a very lean person, totally.
Right. But then when you add that much exercise...
You're leaning.
You're really down to the skin and bones. And he was the mover of all of them. Like, he was the one that when he, like, climbed those boxes, it was natural. Like, he looked like a cat, the way he was moving around. Like, he was the best at the movement part of it. Uh-huh. And, like Michael C. Hall wasn't as good at the jumping around, and, like, it just didn't seem as natural to him what the staging called for. But he just was more menacing because you know what I mean? He's an older man, so it's kind of like, oh, it's a grim story from a man that's, you know, that looks in his 40s.
Sure.
And then this one was from, this was the best voice. Like, Michael C. Hall's voice is more of a rock voice, but this was more of a pure pop voice.
Okay.
So he had the best voice that I've seen do it, where he could add a little nuance to it, and the harmonies were really beautiful between the backup singer and him. It wasn't dangerous like Michael C. Hall was. Like, Michael C. Hall, you were like, every time he was about to snap.
Don't dream, girls.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's why I started laughing. I saw that up there, and I started
laughing. So it was strange to see. So when, like, all the anger that comes as, you know, and then the New York cast, the stage gets torn apart. In L.A., the stage just disappeared. Like, he just ran around and things went off the stage where Hedwig pushed everything. And when it was Michael C. Hall, like, you were like, you in danger, girl.
Yeah, right, right.
So there you go. So go to your headlines. Are you ready for headlines now?
I think so.
You think so, Mark?
I think so. Thank you.
Well, it's quite all right.
All right. Don't dream, girls.
Don't.
That's
don't,
fantastic.
Don't dream, girls.
Unless it's about having your pussy grabbed.
Right.
Oh,
then dream it, be it, whatever you got to do.
An American American grabber in Paris. I'm not sure. Grabber somewhere. Headlines coming at you on this Tuesday night. It's our pre-Thanksgiving show. Just the three of us in studio, and let's see if we can make magic. Oh my God, where's my thingy? It's right here. Oh, happy birthday, baby.
Breaking up on Twitter.
Repossession, change of heart.
An LGBT bill to force you out.
I'd like to exchange sex for nachos, please.
If Jews are people...
Squirrels get revenge.
And Mom bakes a cake for a hilarious outing.
And I'd like to draw you a cannon, if I could. Just a picture of a nice cannon. Bees and other things coming at you. Oh, my gosh. Did anybody happen to see Colbert last night?
I didn't
know.
First of all, he rewrote a Hamilton song and did a new rap to it about Pence in the theater, which was very funny. He did it with a hat on with hair on it. It was just so fucking funny. But anyway, he did part of the canon story last night on the air too. Anyway, all right, here we go. Happy birthday, baby. She was only 4 months old when her likeness was captured in a simple sketch that has since become familiar to generations. Now the original Gerber baby is turning 90 years old.
Whoa.
So for those of you who may not be familiar, this picture will should resonate with a lot of people in the world about that. Gerber baby food, an American baby food brand that has been their I guess you'd say a logo or their trademark for many, many, many years. Well, this woman, who I will show you the picture of, in 1927, a woman named Dorothy Smith sketched a rough charcoal portrait of a girl named Ann Cook. She was the infant daughter of a family friend. And the following year, when the baby food brands launched a contest to find an official face for the company, Smith entered her simple yet unfinished drawing. With the entry, Smith included a note saying that if her drawing was chosen, she would finish the sketch. But when the contest was over, the judges chose it as the winner, and they decided they liked it just as it was. The rest, of course, is history, baby food history, if you will. So this simple sketch of Ann Taylor Cook's cherubic face became synonymous with the Gerber brand that by 1931, it became their official trademark. Now, for years, the public speculated the Gerber baby had grown up to be someone famous, like maybe Elizabeth Taylor or Jane Seymour. But in 1978, right around the corner from the 50th anniversary of the famous sketch, the identity of Ann Cook as its original model was actually revealed. Now, this is a picture of Ann Cook with the sketch. And then 2 years ago, she made an appearance at the Today Show when she was 90 or 88. So there she is holding a sign about her. But look at her little face. You can almost still see the little Gerber baby right in there. The Tampa native is a retired English teacher and a mystery novelist. The story says her eyes still sparkle just as brightly as they did back in 27. And again, there she is on the Today Show in New York back when she was just a little 88 years old.
A little 88 years old.
That's I thought that cute. Was so cute. I actually didn't realize she was still alive. I thought she had passed on, but there she is.
That's fantastic.
Still with us.
Yeah.
This just in. Little shop of homophobia.
That's good.
Good. I like it. So breaking up is hard to do.
Oh, my God. Neil Sedaka said it.
I believe he did. Yeah. Yes. And
they
and
say that breaking up is hard to do.
Yes. We don't know if it's real, but
we don't know if it's true.
So this dude just took the breakup text to a whole new insane level. It wasn't really on Twitter. It was more of a text. No matter breaking up, no matter what, can be difficult, but perhaps don't do it via text. Right. I mean,
I think that's just disrespectful.
Well, very, very.
It's like tweeting at 3 a.m.
Can you imagine?
I mean, can you imagine?
So breaking up via text, you know, it's ludicrous. And if you make a numbered list via text when you break up, yeah, you're even more of a fool. So what apparently,
like a bullet, like,
yeah, like a bullet.
The 10 reasons I want to break up.
Apparently, this guy was not aware of his egregious dating misstep.
10 things I hate about the border.
Number one, you refuse to update your relationship status on Facebook. Oh. Number two, you won't include me in things like the wedding this weekend. I should have been the one to escort you. Number three, my favorite, you are rude to my cat, and that makes me uncomfortable. You do not share your time equally, and by now your boyfriend should be taking priority. Number five. Your swearing is very unladylike.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Turkey.
Number six. You won't disclose how many sexual partners you have had, which makes me think it is upwards of three, and anything more than that is unacceptable.
Upwards of three? Do you count as one?
I don't know. Maybe. Wouldn't that be a good point?
Does myself count as one of those people?
I'll go with four weddings and a funeral on this. I'm somewhere between Princess Diana and Madonna as far as number of lovers.
That's fantastic.
As somebody who's never seen that movie, that was funny to me.
Yeah. I mean, but come on. Are you serious on this one? Like, who's texting?
Upwards of three.
And that is unacceptable.
It's just unacceptable. So this text, this Amy Nelms had sent it in because it was her friend had received this from this boyfriend. We'd hate for the next cat that she encounters, you know, to be less than anything but impressed with her. But this guy, they had been dating for, I think it was 9 weeks, 10 weeks.
And he wants to go to a wedding?
And there was a lot of stuff that was not okay about that, right? Like, a lot of stuff in 9 weeks, 10 weeks, fuck you.
Well, I'm sorry, if you really like that cat, the first time he's rude to your cat, he's gone.
Well, also,
yeah, that's
I'm going to be swearing like a sailor the whole time, before we even start dating. So,
because if my swearing is a surprise, how did we meet?
Right.
Also,
was I in a coma at the time we met? Because I don't recall being silent.
Hey, I probably swore in a text to you. Fuck you, where do you want to be? I don't care. Fuck you, where do you want to go eat for dinner? I don't know.
Or my smart remark back to somebody was, fuck off. Like, oh, he's funny. Let's date.
What a fucking moron.
Right. Now, I'll admit there are some people that swear in an excessive amount.
I'm
not uncomfortable with it, but I'm like, calm down. But
sure.
I feel that my level of swearing is right where it needs to be.
Yeah, right in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, by the way, I lied to you because I was thinking it was 7 weeks of dating.
Seven?
7 weeks.
You're lucky you know my last name.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Let alone go to a formal event with you? Nah.
Oh, yeah, that are my friends.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Not even, you don't even know these people.
That's correct.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not bringing you to the dance yet.
And again, I'm with Alan. You've been rude to my cat anyway. Fuck you.
Yeah.
This is assuming you like that cat. That's what I'm going to assume that part
point.
Of the story.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
That's like, you know, my date was rude to my kid. Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah, you've got.
Kid comes first. Cat comes first. Cat lives here, you don't.
Nope, exactly.
Again, I'm just assuming in these stories, because...
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no other visual enhancement to help us out.
I don't have a point of reference, so...
Oh, a cat living with you?
Yeah.
Yes,
or liking said cat.
I get that.
Also...
Pretend it's a bottle of wine now. You don't like wine. You're out.
Exactly. No, you can stay because that means you won't be drinking mine.
Oh,
oh, good.
Finishing my wine gets you out of the house.
That's a smart man.
Yeah, like see. Mm-hmm.
What about coffee?
He's a thinker.
You better know how to make that motherfucker. You better be trainable when it comes to the coffee arts.
Well, I'm going
to
show you. Because there's, a, you know, what does more than 7 weeks bring with this asshole?
Well, oh, a longer list. Yeah. No, I think a longer list.
Well, or like a Jennifer Lopez kind
of movie.
How many
items did he have? How many items did he have in the list?
There were six.
Oh, so he just hadn't got to the seventh one for that final week yet. So apparently it's an issue a week. That's what I was thinking. Because I thought this was going to be a full 10. I thought, well, the list got short.
Yeah.
I thought I missed something maybe, but I had a stroke or something during the show here. I wasn't sure.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, fuck you, you obsessive.
So, and now Amina asks, when is it okay to go to formal events with somebody? I would say you have to be dating for 6 months.
Unless one of you is dying.
Unless one of you is dying. If imminent death is on the table,
go to the event.
Then,
the person.
Take whoever you want to. Or take the dying person to somewhere, wherever you want.
I think it.
Whatever. Right?
The only variable.
Maybe your dying friend has never had cake. Let's go to the wedding.
The only variable. They're going to have cake there. The only difference I would say is, for example, like I was saying, if you're bitching about not going to a formal event that are my friends, now, if somehow you know them as well,
or you've met them,
right, that would be a different thing.
Okay. If in the 7 weeks we've all been together socially, mm-hmm. and they were like, "Oh my God, you should come to the wedding,"
sure.
Yeah, something. They're
and then make it really awkward for the person that's like, "No, he sends text messages with bullet points."
Yeah. I mean, he's
you want
organized.
One of those about your wedding?
He's organized. I'll give him that, but he's not in my. He's out of my life. Start singing that song.
Out of my life. I don't think I've ever gone anywhere formal with someone either. I've always been an guest. You know what I mean? Like I've always been someone's like.
I used to love her at SNL.
The last one.
And guest and a guest star. Very different.
No, but that was me and Renee. Whenever we would accompany each other to a
after your makeup
event.
Session.
Yeah, exactly. fully made up. I was like, wait, makeup?
And 4 hours late.
So we would show up at parties, and like if it was my event, I would introduce him as Ann Guest, and just to see if people would get it.
Just that was his name, Ann Guest. Yeah. I think it's funny.
Hi, Ann. It's lovely to meet you.
Ann Guest. What's your name? Ann.
Ann Guest.
The traditional spelling.
No. Is your brother Christopher?
But honestly, I don't think a formal event and me dating somebody have ever like crossed paths.
Well, first of all, I haven't ever known you to date anyone, really, in the entire time I've known you. You have. I've just either not been to them or the functions I've gone to, you didn't bring them to.
Which is the type of case. She's like, I have a sore throat.
I'm not gone. And I don't really have any reason in several years to have taken anybody anywhere with me.
I've never dated anybody for any, like, I've only dated, like, two people for any, like, real length of time.
Right.
Everything else has been, a few months. Yeah. Never for any length of time. Cause
well, I think sometimes it's a matter you bring somebody, and then that takes away from whatever's happening.
Yeah.
The person being celebrated or whatever, all this new relationship.
And then you get into the, well, you didn't pay any attention to me. I was there for their wedding.
Right.
Absolutely. I wasn't there for and
see,
a guest.
If I ever had to have that conversation, there'd be a rolling body going away from my car as we left.
Let me call you an Uber. Let me get this car right here.
Excuse me.
Where would you like to go?
Open your door real quick. I think there's a trick to this.
Oh, there's a nice breeze. Could you open that door? Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think the only person I've ever taken to any kind of event is Renee.
And I think that's justified.
Well, and you know, when...
For a lot of reasons.
Girl. No,
and to be honest, to be able to even have this conversation, how lucky are we? Like, Amina's never been able to go because... of homophobia, if I'm understanding that correctly.
Yeah.
You know, to not be able to go, that we even have the choice to be like, fuck you, stay home. Oh, did I swear? Does that
and the
you?
Wedding that I'm going to next week in New York, I don't even think I was invited to bring a date.
Were you invited?
That's becoming, yeah.
Yeah. Like, or was now that I think about it, like maybe... I don't know if I should be offended that it just said me. It didn't say like...
Did it say Al Perkins only?
Yeah, there was no like Ann Guest.
Oh, God. Well, we'll invite Al, but you know, he brings weird people. We'll just invite Al by himself.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
Well, and I think a lot of people are doing that because it's so fucking expensive.
Right, which is fine. And and there's a rule, like, I don't...
Oh, I don't really care to go to anybody's wedding.
But I'm excited to meet my one niece's boyfriend. Because we are Facebook friends, and I've followed his adventures. He works in the television and film industry.
No.
Is a
I do,
grip.
And I do appreciate
it. I was like,
The grand,
the grand staircase of television.
The grand staircase of television and film.
Yes.
So I'm excited to meet him because my niece seems to like him and I like her. So what could possibly go wrong?
It's a win-win, it sounds like.
Wow.
You could regale him of all your stories of yesteryear in the film industry, Alfred. Yes.
Now, I do have a question.
What's a grip?
Get a grip. Yeah. But is your will your cousins be there that are of the... they don't vote like us persuasion?
There's some in every part of the family.
Are there?
This is the...
And I'm only asking because I'm thinking, I always get this picture.
You need a moderator?
Right. I always get this picture of you sitting in, like, you know, kind of a lawn chair out back with someone who has a Coors Light in a can. And talking to... Because you said that that was, like, your cousin with going back and forth.
Yeah. This is the 60th Street family, not like either side of the family.
I thought it was the 57th.
So we know that?
Well, because the girls I grew up with on 60th Street, right. We all call each other aunts, uncles, mm-hmm. cousins, and all that stuff. So it's that group of...
Oh, got it. Okay.
It's that group of people.
Okay.
But yeah, and yes, there are some,
because I thought, how fucking interesting.
But I won't know them as well. Like, okay. And it's just because I've been gone for so long. Sure, like, our families are very close, but I left as a very young person, and mm-hmm. we don't... In the early 90s, late 80s. Yeah. We don't get together to that extent. When I, you know, they do for Christmas and stuff like that, but I'm not around for a lot of those events.
Right.
So this will be the first time we're into the deep cuts of the 60th Street family.
Deep cuts, an album reference for those of you wanting to know what that meant.
Who knows who we'll see.
Wow.
But it's a fun crowd.
I would venture to guess, though, around your family, like, you could be in three rooms away and say something and it's like, oh, Al's here. I can hear him.
Well,
I can hear him.
Right. The fun thing is I just confirmed with, you know, I just checked on the guest list. And so the six girls that I grew up with, all six of us will be there. And that's very rare.
That's
like,
fun. Okay.
There's only been a couple times in the last, even before I moved from New York 30 years ago, there's only been a few times since I've been over 14 or 12 that we've all been in the same room. All seven of us have been in the same room together. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
And how long are you gone for? Or how long are you there with them? I'm sorry.
Like 10 days.
Wow.
I think 10 days.
Very good.
Yeah, so there's two different parties where all seven of us will be together. And there is another boy in the story. He just doesn't come around.
Because? Is there a lockup we need to talk about?
No, he was just... He's just had boyfriends. Male friends.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And he's old. He's the right age to have gone off, and he wasn't trapped with these six women like I was.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? They
or
raised
were they trapped
me.
With you? Whichever.
Well, everybody has Stockholm syndrome. We play a lot of who's the hostage. You know, because I was forced on them, so I was... They were my, you know, they
and
raised me.
And they're a few years older than you, correct?
They're very much. That's why I call them all my aunts.
Yeah. Oh,
like the closest one to me is 6 years.
I know you've told the story before, but I lose track.
Yeah, it's six to 12 or 6 to 14 years.
Got it.
Somewhere in there. I can't remember which one of the two girls is oldest, but yeah. So that's what I mean. So it's a wide range, and we all like we're all very fond of each other, and they're very funny women. All of them are crazy, crazy funny.
Love to hear the stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is one of those things where when you sit around and talk, it's just loud, funny women.
Right.
Now watch this segue talking about age and everything. Right. An elderly couple in Redbud, Illinois.
Turkey.
Well, they have a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. Their 1998 Buick car was repossessed late last week because their prescription medication was getting too expensive and they couldn't afford both, and they had to choose whether they wanted meds or they wanted a car. Well, so they had that difficult decision
enough
to make.
Meds, you can think you're in a car.
Mm-hmm. They paid for the medication, which caused the car to get repossessed. Well, that brought Jim, co-owner of Illini Recovery Incorporated, to repossess their vehicle. He says, quote, "I could see my grandparents in them. I'd hate for someone else to have that to happen to their grandparents." So Jim tried to work a deal out with the bank so that the Kippings could keep their car. Well, when that didn't work, he took to GoFundMe.com to try to raise the necessary funds. Jim said that they raised $3,500 overnight. In the situation where I can help out people, which is a lot of people I can't, I figured I could make a difference with them when nobody else would. I just wanted to help them. Jim not only was able to pay off the payments of the entire car to the bank, he was also had enough money left over. He got the car detailed and made it look brand new. Through the help of friends, they changed the oil, fixed headlights, and a radiator issue that they had. When they brought the car back to the Kippings, they did along with a frozen Thanksgiving turkey. The Kipping say it's a moment that they never will forget. There are a lot of good people out there, and some of them are just like Jim. If it wasn't for him, this all would have never happened, Pat Kipping said. He says it's like hitting the lottery, and I told Jim that if I do hit the lottery, I won't forget him. So I thought that was very
nice.
He saw a couple just need a little money, raised the money overnight, fixed the car, paid it off, took care of them.
Nice,
I thought that was very cool. And that sucks. That's not it's a beautiful story, but they're not alone. There are a lot of people out there that have to choose between meds and food and meds and lodging and that's bullshit. But
the thing in California about putting a cap on the cap on the price of medications. There was I don't know if I'm wording it exactly correctly, but that was one of the propositions that they had.
Okay.
That Big Pharma fought it, and Big Pharma won. So how many of our laws in the nation follow California's example.
Right.
And here, Big Pharma talked people out of controlling the price of your medication.
And I still can't figure that out. Like how...
I feel like it was hidden behind something else. You know how they do riders on bills
and
in Congress?
And I want to just know, this was a straight-up proposition vote, because I passed billboards near Palm Springs and stuff, you know, the elderly.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
It's for a Medicare cap. And I honestly... So I was, I asked, was this like the marriage proposition, Prop 8 in California, was written so that a yes on 8 was really a negative vote? So mm-hmm. I was like, was this the same thing where it was worded poorly and people got a little befuddled? So, and Harrison, I think she said she couldn't really remember because they had like 17 or 18 propositions.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the fact that people vote against...
Something that helps them.
Helps them. Like what?
It's like poor people voting Republican.
What the fuck was in the Big Pharma ads that would convince somebody, no, you should pay more for your medications.
Right.
Medication should be just as expensive as they possibly can.
I'm sure I would assume they probably spun it somehow about how the cost of R&D and how we're so close to a cure
we'll
with a little more money.
We'll never make a good drug again.
Right. We're never able to cure your children of this, that, or the other, or save your grandparents' lives if you vote to cap this, because we won't have any money.
Yeah, they're going to be destitute and poor.
Right, there's got to be something that they did for
that. And then today, so I'm in the grocery store today, just picking up a few things. It's a couple days before Thanksgiving. It's getting a little hectic in the store.
Yes, it was.
And there was a woman in front of me with a child, a grandchild, I'm not sure which. And they were clearly, had shopped and then realized how much money they had with them. So she was making some choices in her cart. And then the cashier was like, do you have a Safeway card? And I'm like, just offer him. Like, you can just use my number. Type my number in and, maybe that'll help get her closer to her
goal.
Her goal. Well, then they do that. They finish ringing everything out. They go through cards and whatever they had. And they were talking about being short. And the woman was having this dilemma about what to put back. So I'm like, just whatever's left on there, just here's my card. Put it in there, run it as credit so I don't have to cut all the way across there and I can just sign for it. It was 61 cents. Here I thought I did this big magnanimous gesture. What?
But still, but I know you. You wouldn't have given a shit if it was $61. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have cared.
Right.
But it was just funny.
Right. Put the Kit Kat back, honey. We'll be fine.
Because I was like, do I need to sign for that? She's like, it was 61 cents. I'm like, oh my God, there was that much debate over putting back one potato?
Right, exactly.
Because, it really was a shopping cart full of food. And I just wasn't in a hurry. So it was the first line that I got to and I was done carrying shit around.
I was going to post this today on Facebook because I just think it's kind of funny. I try to pick... The line I go through, I try to look for certain cashiers that I think, she looks fun or he looks fun. Because some of them, they are no pleasant person.
Yeah. Nobody's home.
So the gal that I went through, she had a older gal, all white hair, all done properly, full sleeve tattoo. And her name was Debbie, I believe. But I'm like, she looks like a good time. So I went through and
she looks like a good time.
Well,
I like that.
Hi, well, welcome to Fry's. Did you do okay? And I stopped and I said, for a middle-aged adult white male, I did pretty good. She goes, you got a full cart. So the whole, we went through the entire thing. And then we were laughing and people in other lanes were laughing. And I just kept, I was smiling at people and I was engaging. And I know people think you're crazy. Cause they're like, why is he smiling at me? Why is he fun? Why? And the bag person was great. They were all good and funny. And then I started to leave and one of the security guards was laughing along with us. This is just fun.
pleasant yeah. day
as it should be.
But some people, sometimes you get in those lines and they're just like, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, you're just you're the Wicked Witch. What was the Wicked Witch's name in the first part of Wizard of Oz? Was it Grinch?
Oh
no, not Grinch.
That's adorable, but
like
I don't
know.
No, no, no. What was
Gulch?
Her?
Is it Gulch?
Gulch, 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 Miss Gulch. Yeah, that's what they're like. Some are just not fun.
Well, and when you there was a
but it was funny to think I did something nice in
61 cents.
You know, to somebody, that could have been $1 million.
Well, right.
So, you know.
But, it was a lot of food.
Right, right.
So she did pretty good on her shopping. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much. I wanted to see how much she saved with the Safeway card.
Yeah.
But who doesn't say, like, I'm going to need a Safeway? Like, that's part I didn't get.
Yeah.
Why would you not have that? Because it's free money.
Absolutely.
I mean, Triscuits were $1.77 today with a card.
I have
card.
No idea what they're.
Do you feel weird about eating Triscuits? No.
I hope I don't, because I eat them just about every day of my life.
Well, I know, but I remember the Triscuit accident with your father.
Mm. No, Triscuits paid for everything in my life. I'm good with eating Triscuits.
Well, there was an incident where his dad got the hand
got turned into a Triscuit
thingy, and I felt
it got caught in the machine.
Just chewing on dad's hand.
I don't know.
I get it. Yeah, that's awful, and I better get it.
I honestly would starve to death without Triscuits.
The Triscuits, all right. I like to get these questions.
They are my bread and butter, if you will.
Well, there you have it. There you have it.
Got it. Ms. Ryer, I believe it's your turn.
Well, then I will. So I don't know if you guys saw this today on CNN. It was today. The alt-right founder that was on CNN.
Oh,
with
I heard
Jake Tapper.
Was it the dark-haired gal?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I heard. I just saw the headline. I didn't hear it.
Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. The cryon? No, no. I know bitch and cunt right there. But is it a cryon? The cryon or C-H-R-Y?
Chiron.
Chyron.
Yeah.
Like the
super on the it's called a Chyron.
A Chyron. Okay. Right. So the Chyron aired during a segment discussing President-elect Donald Trump's transition and support from the alt-right. And what happened, I don't know if you had that, because I have one that I can send it to you, but the issue of this was CNN saw swift backlash from the media and viewers over an on-screen message, the Chyron, that aired on Monday. It was on Monday, I'm so sorry, with the lead with Jake Tapper. During a segment on President-elect Donald Trump's transition, Jim Sciutto spoke with two media correspondents about an alt-right leader, Richard Spencer, and whether Trump needs to formally denounce and disavow the alt-right groups, which, just as a side note, he did today. Sciutto quoted Spencer, the president of the National Policy Institute, who coined the term, quote, alt-right, and described his words as, quote, hate-filled garbage, unquote, against Jews. Spencer's quote read, "One wonders if these people are people at all, or instead soulless Gollum." Because of the not believe in Jesus kind of stuff, right? And, well, the not believe in the coming back of the Jesus kind of thing. The issue Twitter users had with it, however, wasn't necessarily with what the alt-right person said, this Richard Spencer. It was with the Chyron at the bottom of the screen throughout the segment that they just kept up there, which read, "Alt-right founder questions if Jews are people."
Yes, I read that.
That.
Okay.
And that was all that they kept it up there the whole time. Politico's.
I just sent it to you.
Okay.
Thank you. I have it separated out, but I couldn't get it sent. Politico's, I think it's Hadass Gold, tweeted that had to pinch herself. "I'm real. I'm a real person." And The Hill's Jordan Fabian shared a screen grab with the words, "Come on." I mean, like, people, to keep that up there. Another user posted, but they do
question that.
No. But it was how it was put.
I just, I just read the article that Jack. Cause it's not Jake Tapper that was hosting.
Jim Sciutto. Right.
So he was actually hosting it. So Jake Tapper was watching it and was just horrified that stayed up.
Yeah.
But that's how CNN works now. is they present the something catchers. Ridiculous, and then they give you one person from each side that make it seem like there's now a debate between differing groups on whether or not Jews are people.
Sure.
So, and it's a 50-50 matchup.
That's true.
And it's what they do with climate change. It's what they do with everything else. But if you're going to deal with the alt-right and the white supremacists, then yes, that is the issue at hand.
I'm not disagreeing. The further point was another user posted, just because some idiot says it doesn't mean you need to put it up on the
Chiron. But I mean this is a CNN constant problem. It's why CNN has become unwatchable, because they have just taken this new stance of put something completely unsupported, type it across the bottom, and then have Kellyanne what's her butt and a normal human being argue it out like it's a 50-50 argument.
Notice how he did that. Kellyanne, what's her butt, and a normal human being. There's that. I do like that. You know, and the other piece of it is that
this
that's
could be
like
a parody.
That clickbait.
It's like the
clickbait kind of stuff where you
and
see
this
that.
Could literally be a parody off of SNL.
Sure.
Because how I heard about this was somebody put, you read it today, Buddy, that guy. Buddy Early put up on there.
Should black lesbians come across the border?
Disabled lesbians be able to cross the border? Yeah. And here's the two people debating each side of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
That's legitimately what CNN does all the time now.
It's true.
They do two headlines, and then they do 23 hours and 59 minutes of this shit. So looking at this, you could tell me this was SNL.
Yeah, you could.
And I would be... Yeah, that's perfectly believable.
The screenshot of what the story is talking about is this one, where it says alt-right founder questions if Jews are people. That is the super or the Chiron that was on the bottom of the screen on CNN for apparently this entire interview and story, and that's what they're all up in arms about.
And you have to wonder which one of those two people was arguing for the alt-right. Like, which one was...
If I'm not mistaken, I thought it was the girl in the beige dress.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I seriously last like 20 seconds on CNN now.
I thought that
the guy in the dark suit on the far right of the picture looks like the guy from Mask.
Oh, Eric Stoltz.
Yeah, that's who I thought it was.
There you go.
Like, Jesus, a movie reference. I can't keep up with that.
And a Cher movie reference too. Oh. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well done. Turkey.
I
love it.
Oh God.
So what Jim Sciutto was trying to say is, to be clear, we were doing the opposite of normalizing, he said. We were calling them out for the odious bigotry, and that's what they had talked about on the air. So trying to get those attention-grabbing kind of things.
Right, but if you look at that picture, you think that person on the left is going to be Jews aren't people, and the person on the right is going to be Jews are people, and they're going to talk it out, and then the one on the left is going to say... Well, no one ever said they weren't. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like five seconds later, they'll just retract it.
And that super is even on a network that's owned by Jews. I mean, it's media. It's the fucking media in this world. It's owned by a Jew. Somewhere along the line, it's owned by a Jew.
Right.
Trust.
Right.
I'm not going to go along with that one.
Also, I would look at the fact that
I didn't come up with that. It was said on another media. It's like the Jews own media in the fucking world.
Lots of and that guy on the right, the reason that he probably wasn't saying that is because he looks a little Jewish. I don't know if anybody's
okay. Write down Jewish people. Wow, we're going hard on this.
No, well,
his last name was Stein.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
Yeah,
be fine.
I think so. Also, I don't know that we're going that. There's
I know, but it's
wrong
one of the,
with that.
But it's one of those things that's part of the scapegoating is the media is all Jews, so you can't trust anything.
No, but he's right. That's what a lot of people were talking about.
I know. I'm just saying that's part of the scapegoating, though, too.
Well, it doesn't make it okay. I mean, it's kind of like...
What, Jenny? What?
Also, I mean, it's kind of... That would be like saying, you know, well, the NFL, I mean, we can say whatever we want about black people, because, I mean, basically, it's just a lot of black people that are in it. No, I mean...
NBA, too.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
Cubans took over the MLB.
Right.
Or no,
Dominicans, really.
No, Dominicans.
Oh, you were trying to see if you had the...
Well, I was like, MLB, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Major League Baseball.
I don't
know. Oh, you weren't getting caught up on whether they're Cuban, Dominican.
No, I was wanting to make sure my acronym was correct.
Right. It's about the acronym.
I like to make sure my
acronym. I see.
NFL, NAACP, AFL-CIO, NCAA.
Jenny.
Triple A.
The Jew comment. She's not a fan. We don't want to lose Jenny, so apologize. Apologize.
No, but it's one of those things where...
They own the media, Jenny. Yeah. Look it up. Google it.
Steve Bannon said so.
The Guildensteins own it. Just check it out.
The Guildensteins.
I don't know. I'm making up names now.
Yeah, you sure are.
I don't know. You got two options, Jenny. You can listen to the show, or you can listen to somebody else.
Please just.
It's very rare in 4 years that I've had anything that's been controversial on this show, because most of the time I'm not permitted to talk.
That's why.
The irony of the show is it's a show in my name, and I have no control over it. So I got two jabs in 4 fucking years. A lot of my friends are Jews.
Yeah.
Now we got. Now we got to be like community. Say the whole word. Say the whole word.
Ish.
What's, acting coach Elaine Stein.
What's
Jew?
My girlfriend.
What is
dreidel? 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 I made you.
Okay, stop. What's? Oh God, what's your, the actress from Community? The Christian actress from Community that's always asking questions of the Jewish girl, and the Jewish girl's always like, "Say the whole word."
Ish.
Say the whole word.
Jewish, Jewish.
I mean, you know how they have the elf on a shelf? Now they have, like, you know, a schmuck on a duck or something you can buy.
Oh my God.
You can buy all that.
I don't know what that is.
Harry in the Hall. I mean, whatever it is. But you can, they have, like, a Jewish version now. I'm not making it up.
I'm going to Google it. So
It is. It's called, like, Hanukkah Harry sits on his ass. I don't know what it is, but it's something like that. Maybe, I think it's schmuck in a truck.
Maybe a lawyer. We're not sure.
Oh, my God.
Could be.
I don't know.
Mensch. Oh, my God. She's right.
Mensch on a bench.
It's worse. It's worse.
What is
mensch,
it now?
Mensch on a bench. Am I right? Schmuck in a truck. Mensch on a bench.
It rhymes.
Meh. Whatever. Meh.
As offensive as I thought she was.
No. Bed Bath and Beyond, 1999.
The fact that the real name was more offensive than what you were saying. Mensch on a bench.
Mensch on a bench.
Is there a description of it? Please tell us.
Yeah, Jewish guy on a bench.
No, I wanted to.
I have no idea.
I figure there's a Milton Bradley explanation.
This is from forward.com.
Okay.
I'm taking Kat's job here. So, do you have Christmas elf envy? No more. The elf on a shelf has some Jewish competition. The mensch on a bench. Mini tribe member Mensch is the brainchild of Neil Hoffman, a former employee of Hasbro Toys in Rhode Island, who thought of the Hanukkah-friendly mentor after his son Jacob felt left out at school. All his friends had elves to play with. After raising more than $22,000 on Kickstarter... Mosh, I think is how you say his name. Mosh the Mensch was born. According to the description, he brings some Funica to Hanukkah.
Oh!
Hi, meow.
Oh.
We're gonna. We'll have our map updated. Thank you, meow. That's awesome.
The toy also comes with a book by the same name telling the story of Mosh. Somebody's got to tell me how to pronounce this. M-O-S-C-H-E. I think it's Mosh. The Mensch, who was in the temple with the Maccabees when they won the war against the Greeks. There was only enough oil for one night, and everyone was exhausted from the war and wanted to go to sleep. But what if the oil went out while the Jews were sleeping? Mosh volunteered to sit on the bench all night and warn everyone if the oil ran out. Sound appealing? Well, too bad. Both the regular Mensch on the bench and the limited edition... It includes something Jewier. A blue talit.
Did you say Jewier?
Well, it was either say that or try or mispronounce this word.
Well, mispronounce the goddamn word. Even, I mean, Jewier? You're mad that we said Jew.
I wasn't mad.
And we had to go to Jewish.
By the way,
we
have a picture of the mensch on the bench.
Oy.
It's right here. Holding the candle. It's the last candle of the menorah. He's holding it.
I'm with you. I mean, all I fucking pay.
Oh.
Come on.
A blue talit. And now we got to look up what a talit is.
Junior.
Well, I think that's his thing around his neck, isn't it?
I don't know. Are you looking at the super secret one?
I didn't know there was a super secret mensch.
I thought schmuck meant like douchebag, but, you know, what do I know?
They use shellac a lot lately on the news about poles and...
Shellacking. That's right. Or a menching.
You're acolacking.
Actually.
That's Bette Midler talk.
That's a smart guy. Uh-huh. Good call.
So.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you've never heard of a mensch.
By the way, this is the only thing on Q Talk America right now, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're wondering. There's a super secret mensch.
No, oh.
It's the prayer. It must be the prayer shawl. The website that I went to has it mostly in Yiddish.
Well, and you can't.
Oh my God! I found something even more better. Stand by. We're gonna. Oh, you're gonna love this one.
What is it? Whore on a board?
No. God, hang on. For our Jewish friends, this is really gonna help you a lot. I'm sure.
We like to call them
well,
the Jews.
Well, if you've got a question, you can ask Bubby. Bubby.
That's right.
Is there a talking Jewish grandmother doll. So if you have questions, you can ask Bubby or your mensch on the bench. You got either one.
And the way they have her teeth, it kind of looks like a white mustache.
That kind of does. Well, that's true. And yeah. It could be. I mean, if it's a nice
Moshe
Jewish woman.
Moshe rhymes with Porsche. Moshe rhymes with Porsche. Okay. Moshe.
Huh?
We're getting a pronunciation of Moshe.
I can't. Hang on, let's.
I was not sure.
Well, let's look here. We'll zoom in here and see what we got.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell it was teeth the second time.
Yeah.
But it looked at first.
I see what you're saying.
Black. Yeah.
Yeah, but based on eyebrows, it would need to be blue mustache.
That's good. Good call.
And the blue and silver candles would have just matched the hair and grandma's wig. I almost drove off the road the first time I heard that line.
Oh my God, that was funny. Oh, I fucked up.
That's fantastic.
Oh, that is funny shit right there, boys and girls. That is funny.
That is good stuff.
What the hell did I do here? Oh, I know what I did. I did something.
I was going to buy that for Aaron because but she likes gifts. And
who doesn't?
Well, but she's a little bit spoiled. And so, God bless her. But she decides that, you know, like when it's convenient, she's Jewish. That's why she is literally Jewish.
Ish. Yeah. Got it. All right. Well, that's fair enough.
It's always a funny joke.
I do. But so she gets, you know, the whole Christmas kind of gig, right? And Hanukkah. So
there's nothing wrong with straddling both fences. No, if you're a gift person,
I would have done that.
Ride both horses.
Well,
that's
I pretended to be Jewish for years. I was a faux Jew for, you know, through high school.
A faux Jew.
No, I was a faux Jew through high school. Like, I just celebrated my Jewish friends and took the same days off.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was fun. And but I have to tell you, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. But I really did want to get her the elf on a shelf and the mensch on a bench. Problem is, she would probably never notice because she just forgets everything anyway. So, you know, like it wouldn't have, I don't think it would have been. You know.
I tuned out on that when I heard about the eight little, I'm like, who, gifts? I'm like, I'm not on board.
Eight little what?
That the presents are like eight small, like it's not like a Christmas, like extravaganza.
Oh, for Hanukkah.
Yeah, like it's eight little gifts.
Sure.
I always wanted a TV.
I'm not going to disagree.
Can I take all of these eight and trade them in for one big one?
I always needed like one big fucking gift. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Make this just...
Because all I want
Give me a hint every day. Make it something that has like eight letters and then it spells out exactly what my big gift is.
Television.
Porsche.
Yeah.
Or Moshe.
Mm-hmm. Don't know why. No. We already had three TVs in the house, and I had one all to myself, but I wanted one in my bedroom.
A big disco ball.
And I was always disappointed that I didn't have a television
in my
bedroom.
Are you being for real?
Yeah, oh yeah. Like bitter Christmases.
Hashtag.
Boy, so it was quite clear that's all I wanted.
Of course, you were quite clear. That and Donna's summer albums.
Oh, he had all those.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't need those.
The only reason I ever got a Donna Summer album for Christmas was to make me stop playing the one song. The thought was maybe if he has an album with 15 other songs, we can get a break from that one song that's been on downstairs.
Or he'll shut up about the TV if we get him a double album of Donna Summer music.
Oh, that's
is it you or is it me?
Oh, it's you.
Sure. Well, when an undercover police officer in Beaver Township, Ohio, met Crystal Holtz, who's 36 years old, in the parking lot of a Los Gallos Mexican restaurant on Monday evening, well, she offered to perform a sexual act in exchange for $60 and an order of Super Nachos.
Atta girl.
According to the police report, Holtz of Claresville advertised her services on YoungstownBackspage.com's website. Well, according to Fox 8 Cleveland, Holtz was arrested, charged with solicitation, possession of criminal tools, and promoting prostitution. The man, who drove her to the parking lot of the restaurant, was also arrested. Both Holtz and the driver were taken to, it's going to be hard to pronounce it, but I believe it's Mahoning County Jail. And according to KTLA, Hulse was determined to get her nachos, even asking the officer several times for the appetizer on the way to jail.
I mean, we are in possession of the nachos.
There is her mugshot. She looks like somebody who needs needs a fill of something.
Well, yeah, well, she's sad. No nachos.
No nachos and a character wig.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I wasn't going to mention it.
Yeah, because that's not good hair.
No, it's a character wig from an off-Broadway version of Chicago. That's what that is.
Where's the same place?
It's in the alley in Chicago.
I'd like to make her look more attractive. Could you pull back? How do you feel about Cleveland?
Yeah. But if you're going to put out $60 in a plate of super nachos,
well,
high praise indeed.
I'm not sure.
Indeed.
If someone described having sex with me as like $60 in a plate of super nachos, I'd take that.
You think that a compliment? Yeah. All right, God.
Well, I actually wouldn't be offended.
They'd get a tip of the hat for me, m'lady.
Tip of the hat, wag of the tail. Yeah, yeah. Apparently the tail was already wagging. But anyway.
However you self-identify. I like it. I'm not mad at that. That's true.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I like it.
Wait a minute. Ginny says, I picture a young Al getting a nail salon in a box, all bubbly and excited, asking his sisters what color nails they want.
Oh, Jenny, you are so off on that one.
That's funny, though.
New from Mattel. Al in a box.
Yeah. All singing, all dancing.
All dancing. Pull a string and he grows hair. Wow. What is that?
Well, danger.
It's not aspartame. Dangerous. Shut up.
No, it was metal.
She opened her can wrong.
Oh! Turkey. There's a right way and a wrong way.
Turkey.
Oh.
I'm still trying to get that. Here we go. So there was a, you know how I love my Minnesota. Meow Cal, I don't know if you had heard about this. It was in Minneapolis. And it was a little while back. I had the story for a little bit because so many other things were going on. But there was a restaurant in Minnesota that had the perfect response to a review who complained about too many gay people in the establishment.
Oh.
Hell's Kitchen, Minneapolis, posted on Facebook to respond to a customer named Eric, who had written a straightforward review. He simply wrote, too many gay people, on the restaurant, of the restaurant on Google. They kindly asked Eric to not come back again. That's the Minnesota nice that they had, and I appreciate that very much. To Eric, it says. We're writing in response to a review you posted on Google a few minutes ago. It simply said, too many gay people. We ask that you not return to Hell's Kitchen again. All of us who work here, whether straight or gay, view Hell's Kitchen as our home. We open our doors each morning and do our best to make every person kind enough to dine with us feel as if it is their home too. We do our best to make every guest feel welcome. We do our best to create an environment that gives them a chance to enjoy the company of their friends. We do our best to create an environment that is blind to any form of prejudice. And we do our best to create an environment that is safe. These aren't business goals. They're just naturally in the DNA of every one of the 166 members of our Hell's Kitchen family. While you're certainly free to post any comment you want about us, we're equally free to say you cannot enter our home again. Sincerely, Sin, Pat, and the staff at Hell's Kitchen.
All right for them.
I say bravo.
Yeah, well played.
Turkey, turkey, turkey. Turkey.
And how does that affect your meal?
That's just it.
Usually in a positive way because it's all fantastic.
Actually, some positive stuff did come out of this, I think. The Fox 9 in Minnesota reported that a family member told the local news station that Eric had retracted his comment and has learned the error of his ways. On Thursday, Hell's Kitchen updated their post. We've learned the updated post. We just learned from a member of the media that this young man and his family have taken down the post, and he understands how hurtful his words were. Here at Hell's Kitchen, some of us have said things we later wished we had not.
Oh, yeah.
And some of us have made mistakes that have hurt others. We're very big believers in redemption here and always respect people who acknowledge that their words and actions have hurt others. Hell's Kitchen president said the response has been overwhelming. While we absolutely support an individual's right to speak out, we also feel that we have the right to respond, and we have a long history of speaking out when we feel someone's words or conduct has negatively impacted someone in our family. Not every one of our customers agree with every position we take, but they do know that we're being sincere when we speak up, and seem to respect us for being willing to take a stand on important social and economic issues, justice issues,
yeah.
in an area where not enough businesses are willing to do so. Eric, this Eric gentleman, has also been very apologetic. The young man who wrote this post called them on Thursday, the Thursday after this thing went up. He was very apologetic and obviously very shaken. They told the young man that they greatly appreciated his call, his willingness to apologize, and then they invited him to come visit so that he can learn
for pride.
A bit more.
Yeah.
Right, right. But to come and visit so that he can learn a bit more about what makes them tick as far as at the restaurant. So I thought that was really kind of cool how it all...
Yeah, at least it didn't descend into something horrible and, you know, everything's Obama's fault and I hate this.
It may have on the fourth thing down. I'll look.
Yeah.
Right. No, you're probably right.
Give me a minute.
But the leader of that, like the one who posted it, he took ownership of it.
Absolutely.
It sounded like, you're probably right, third or fourth person down on that comment line, that thread was probably a dipshit, but he owned up and took it down. And I think that's good.
And if there is some learning to be done from these kind of things, if there's redemption to be had, like, and not this guy, we don't know anything about this kid that wrote this, but like for Mike Pence, horrible human, if he goes to somewhere that takes phone calls for at-risk youth and, you know, listens to those calls or participates in helping them find real help, not electric shock therapy, then I'll believe he really... gives
and
a shit
and not just like for an afternoon.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if I find out he's done something like that to repent and learn something about the people that he's condoned bullying of, then maybe he can go see a musical. But until then, stay the fuck out of the theater.
Yeah.
Well, and
don't
also,
come into my church.
Go sit with
or my temple,
you know, actually,
as I was calling it earlier.
I really don't want him to do this because I don't want to put anyone who is losing their child or at risk or in that situation to have to look up and see Mike fucking Pence.
No, but I mean, a phone booth where he just just listen for the day and hear the stories of bullies like him and what that leads to.
Because
what,
talking about all these women and having to bury and having to just all, I don't know. There are so many things that he just doesn't have any idea.
Like if he made an effort to like reach out or listen to the people that he's hurt, then I would maybe be like, all right, redemption could come your way. I'm just offering that up, that maybe this might be a young person who just realized, like, oh, I'm an asshole.
Well, and I
which
love
can
the
be
fact
anybody. Everybody has those moments where you're like, oh,
fuck,
sweet Lord.
My hand would have to stay up in the air. But this is something that I loved because I enjoy the fact that they called him out on it. He retracts it. And then they come back and say, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. You've recognized it. We all have made mistakes.
Never a wrong time to do the right thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And however you get there, you know what I mean? But like Pence's gesture is going to have to be huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Also, the whole fist bump thing, unless we're going to hug when we meet, that's the only thing I'll do because I can't shake your hand.
Oh, can you see it on here? No. Put your fist up like a fist bump. The first time somebody did it, I was like, okay. Like, I didn't know what we were going for.
Sure.
Like, I was like, all
it's
right.
Like, well, Jenny thought she was going to get punched, but get a little fist bump.
Oh, yeah. Now, now I know what it is.
There it is.
I was like, so what do you want from me?
No, I can't because I truly have my OCD. I don't want to shake hands.
Oh, I would much rather hug somebody than shake their hand.
I know. And people will be like, you'd rather hug somebody with all the... Yeah, abso-fucking-lutely.
There's a lot of clothing that I'm providing.
Yeah.
Even if they're naked, I got a lot of clothes on.
Yeah, I don't want to fucking shake their hand. That's the only reason I would move to, like, Asia.
That really takes me... That takes a lot out of me to shake someone's hand.
Plus, you could reenact Kung Fu Panda.
Oh.
Look at you. Before we move off completely from the...
High five, though. Whenever somebody holds up a high five thing, I'm like, oh, just stop there. I'm not that person.
Okay.
I'm not that person.
Not gonna happen.
I can during a game. That's about it.
I mean, it's the mood has struck me twice in like 50 years, but it's...
I can just see it like, oh!
But it's not something I...
With my mom, anytime that
like
a high five's
going to
come around, I'm like, just duck.
Like, the word dude is never going to be said in a casual way out of
my
mouth.
Oh my god, that's fucking funny. Because it's so true.
Yeah,
I don't get that.
It comes out of my mouth like a butler offering you a fresh towel. Like, I just don't know how to say that word.
No.
Dude.
And when someone calls me dude, like, dude, let's go. Shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Cat got used to it.
Wow.
Cat has gotten used to it. Little Mr. Beaver.
She prefers sir.
Who is not here right now.
I just left a comment earlier. Oh, there it is. When a person says beaver and notches in the same paragraph, a lesbian masturbates. That's...
Make the world happy.
Funny. Go high. Hashtag go high.
Go high.
Actually, go low.
Yeah.
No,
well, depends on where your
and
notches
a
are.
Higher, and a little higher.
To the left. To the right. There it is. There it is.
Don't look. Just don't look.
Both hands are right here.
That was horrifying.
You were talking about the Pence thing in the theater. Has anybody else seen any of these that have come up?
Yes. Oh, my God. They're awesome. Yeah. Wow, man.
I have enjoyed so many of those.
Okay. That makes me so glad I have the internet.
Yeah.
Because
that's fucking funny.
I may have high-fived Mr. Lincoln. And that is not code for masturbation.
That is not.
Shaking hands with Mr. Lincoln. Top 10 things that sound dirty but really aren't.
Got that German soldier marching.
No, he really was a bishop and he was dirty.
Oh,
there were scuff marks. I had to polish it.
Oh, here we go. Well,
oh, boy.
Back in October, the alderman for Chicago's 21st Ward went on a public tirade about aggressive squirrels, griping that the furry critters keep eating through the city-supplied garbage cans. But Brookins had no idea just how aggressive squirrels could be.
They're awful.
On November 13th, by the way, in case anybody needed to, where the hell is my, oh, I hate when my cursor goes away. Squirrel. This is what, there you are. In case you're wondering what the hell it is.
Rats with cuter costumes.
There's a squirrel. rats with cuter costumes, whatever.
Just a fucking rat.
So on November 13th, the alderman found himself in the hospital with a skull fracture after a squirrel leapt into the path of his bike, wrapping itself in the spokes and causing him to flip over the handlebars. The Star Tribune reports...
Good use of squirrel.
The Star Tribune reports, quote, I can think of no other reason for this squirrel's actions than... than that it was
suicide.
Like a suicide bomber getting revenge on me, he told the Tribune. Some outlets like the Chicago Sun-Times covered the incident, but simply referred to it as a freak accident. Apparently afraid to call radical squirrel terrorism by its name, Brookins posted about the accident on Sunday to announce that he would be unable to attend events in the near future as he was still recovering from his serious squirrel-inflicted injuries. Sadly, it appears that the squirrel did not survive the incident based on the photo that he had posted on his Facebook and has since made his cover photo as if to serve as a warning for squirrels everywhere who may try the same thing.
Oh my God.
I chose not to post the
picture. Now, where was that at?
This is in Chicago. He's riding his bike through a park and a squirrel darted in front of him and went through the spokes of his front wheel. And he went ass over tea kettle, fractured his skull.
Well, Harrison and I saw a dead squirrel in the road yesterday, and I thought, good
and
use of squirrel.
And you applauded?
No, I didn't applaud. I just...
No. Just saying.
I nodded my respects, and I thought, Sergio, right, you little fucker.
Well,
PETA.
An aunt was wondering if anybody wonders how the White House Correspondents' Dinner is going to go under a Trump presidency.
Oh.
Al says very dull, but I would like to say it's going to go black, but we know it's not going to do that.
I just can't. Turkey, turkey. He can't take a joke. We learned that.
Nobody will be there.
That's what I mean. It'll go black.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, I thought you were making a.
Yeah. I was.
That has two meanings.
Double entendre. Usually one of them's dirty. Yeah. Usually one of them's dirty.
Two meanings.
Usually, but that was a play on words.
To find, because we learned from the Al Smith dinner that he can't take the joke.
He doesn't get jokes. Like he doesn't. Excuse me, he can't deliver one. He can't.
Right, but the point to that is you have to take the joke.
Of course.
And
right.
So he'll just end up screaming at whoever hosted it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then it's going to be.
And then suing them because they were mean.
Scott Baio, Tim Allen, and
Ted
the
Nugent.
Underwear model.
Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
Oh.
Antonio Sabato Jr.
That's such a loss for
our
team.
Such a loss. But it's going to be the four of them trying to make a funny video a la Amy. No. Kelly, no.
Nope.
Oh, Kelly and
Conway?
Conway?
Nope.
Twitter.
Parks and Recreation.
By the way,
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Every time I hear...
Amy was right. I was just... Yeah. There's two funny Amys. Oh, my God. How does the world survive?
Every time I hear Kellyanne being interviewed on whatever network the TV happens to be on, I run out to look because I want to see what incarnation her hair is today. Because since the election, it's much better. So some... I don't know if a gay worked their way into that, whatever.
No.
But got her. She's a little bit better with hair.
Oh, she came from Trump world. She is no gays, never.
Yeah, I don't.
But all I ever want to do is just whatever she says, just send it to Kate McKinnon and have her do it for me, because I didn't realize how imitatable she was.
Oh, until that happened last weekend.
Yeah, until I was like, oh dear God, that's. That's spot on.
You got something on your shoulder? All this.
I can't remember what celebrity went on SNL years ago, and they did a Drew Barrymore imitation. And it was one of those things where you're like, oh, I didn't realize how easy it was to make fun of Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm. And it was so, but you don't think of them as being like, not impressionable, but like that you could do an impression of them or that it would be that recognizable. And it was like a genius moment of like, oh, she clearly irritates someone.
The way
else.
She speaks she's got very. Because
she looks like she's got a little bit of a facial droop, a little tiny bit. Like there's a little something going on there.
Sure. And but almost a lisp because of her with her speech and how it is. And people right away. Yeah.
And it was just one of those things.
Yippo-fuck-a-potamus. What? Who's Milo Yippo-fuck-a-potamus?
I don't know.
What's happening, Meow Cal? What's happening with that?
Oh, that might be a gay that's going to fix her hair.
I don't even know what that even is.
Oh, no. It's happening right now.
We've lost control of the chat room.
Okay.
Born.
Okay, so the only people at the only thing at the nerd prom will be his friends, his puppets. He can't take it. He's going to blow. Melania shows up wearing a codpiece. His wiring will destruct.
Oh, God, that's funny. Okay, now I'm going. Yeah. Okay.
But I still don't know who Milo Yippopotafuckamus is.
All I can tell you is that I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it is.
Melania in a codpiece. All right, whose story is it, Chris?
Oh, that's funny. So there was a cake that was baked.
Left out in the rain?
No.
Ooh, was somebody crying? I can still imagine the cotton dress.
I don't think so.
Yellow. I think it was yellow.
Yellow, yes.
Are you sure?
Foaming like the
wind. What else do you think happens in the story?
I don't think I can tell.
Chinese checkers by the trees.
Oh. It took so long to bake it. I'll never have that recipe again.
No. Never again. Mm-mm. Never. I want
Hold
this to go on.
The note.
That way I can get this right here. Drop it like here.
Drop it like a top, Marty. Drop it like a top.
It may have worked. I don't even know. Nope. It hates me.
I hate that. I hate that.
Well, I don't know what the fuck's happening. So. There. I think it, okay, so I sent it twice because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
You sent something to me?
Yeah. Well. So, this mom baked a real funny pie, or excuse me, a real funny cake based on an apology after accusing her daughter of doing drugs. This is going to take the cake. And the cake is what it took.
It's going to take the cake.
It's what it took for... Rachel Gelms to accept her mom's apology after she accused her daughter of taking drugs. If I could ever get my screen to move down, it would be fantastic. Sorry, guys. This is stupid. Whoops. I need a new computer, but this one's just not very old.
I don't get why that's still jacked up. It's something's terribly wrong.
You have no idea. It's very, very frustrating. But and I know it is for everybody out there. So I could tap dance, but I'm not going to. it's just better that way.
Tell me when you're ready for that picture.
As soon as this will move down just a little bit. Sorry, guys. She baked the cake at 400 using salt, pepper. I'm just making shit up while I'm waiting for this to go.
This is relevant?
Nope, not even a little bit. I have to tell you, I love the rainbow, but the little spinny ball that's on here, that's like, we're waiting. I fucking hate it. That's all. It doesn't matter. So the cake was this nice big cake with orange frosting.
I'll show you a picture of it.
Yeah, if you want to put it up there.
There it is right there.
Well, thank God there's part of it. See, I wasn't making the whole thing up. Sorry, guys. This is so stupid. I can't get this up there. Sorry, we thought you did meth and coke and pot and heroin. The mom, it's so funny, but you can't know that because I haven't told you anything. That's right. You heard me.
It's a technical error from a different source.
Yeah, usually this is not going to be, it'd be Clayton, but anyway, how's everybody? Anybody?
Very good. Does anybody have any new Name Pence musicals they'd like to share with us?
Aaron! Let's see.
I'm looking for something else that I had queued up and then fucked up.
Come on, cake. I'll try to pull this up on my phone. Hopefully it'll work this time. We like the iPhone. It's just harder for the old woman to read on it. So, all right, here we go.
No judgment there.
So the cake is what it took for this Rachel to finally go ahead and forgive her parents. The cake was a nice big one with orange frosting and the sorry we thought you did the meth and coke and pot and heroin. Gelm's mom, Karen, made the cake and the apology back in 2012, but a photo of it recently went viral after the 20-year-old computer science student posted it on Facebook and Twitter. She says, the time my mom genuinely believed I was doing every drug at once because my idiot school misread my drug test.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Wow.
The reason for the cake came after Gelms voluntarily took a drug test at the request of her parents, a service that was offered by her school at the time. The Pinnacle Schools is a chain of private schools in Huntsville, Alabama. There's the second problem. The school was private on one side and an alternative school on the other. The students in the alternative school were given mandatory random drug tests, so the school administration was pretty experienced in reading these tests. I was one of the private school students, said Gelms, and our drug tests were optional. My mom asked them to drug test me because she thought I had been acting weird. When the results came back, they showed that Rachel had tested positive for all of the above.
Everything.
The pot, cocaine, tested positive for pot, cocaine, heroin, methamphetamine, benzodiazepine, and barbiturates.
Jesus.
I would like to know who the hell that was, though, if they got it
right,
wrong.
Right?
Who's that student?
I got called to the office, she said, and basically cornered by four members of the administration. I was completely terrified because I had no idea what was going on. They told my mom before I could talk to her. She was really freaked out and cried when she took me home. Gelman's mom and dad started looking up different rehab facilities right away before officials called and told her that they had really screwed up. There were no traces of drug in their daughter's system after all.
Oh, nobody else was testing positive. They just read it wrong. I'm sorry. All right.
Gelm said her mom was very sorry that she had doubted her daughter, but her little girl hadn't.
After they shaved her head, put her in a convent. Right.
Britney speared her all the way through to the
nailed her feet to the floor.
Right. But the daughter apparently had an idea about how she could make it up to her. I asked her to make the cake. She felt really bad about the whole thing, and I thought it would be something silly that would make us both feel better. I don't remember what flavor the cake was, but I do remember the frosting was caramel apple. I don't remember everything about that fucking cake. I'll tell you that right now. Gelms, who currently studies computer science at the University of Alabama, Huntsville, said she and her mom still talk about the incident. Mom said, I didn't think it was like all of those drugs, but the test results were a shock. She said, I just thought you were smoking pot or something. She's always been a very understanding and patient mom. I love her to death, and we still laugh about the story all the time. Gelms does see the serious side of the incident and hopes other parents will learn from the experience. Listen to your kid, try to be understanding, and remember that mistakes happen. But for the love of God, can you imagine that coming back with all that? You can't tell me that somebody would still be alive if they had all that shit.
Yeah, that would be my other thing.
Yeah, that's right. And she was breathing.
Yeah. Jenny.
I mean.
Oh, excuse me.
All those things.
And to act weird is one thing. that would be under like the zombie apocalypse kind of thing going on.
Was she trying to eat your face?
Yes, she was.
It could happen with all of that.
Right.
God. And if she really did shovel in that whole cake, then she did smoke pot.
I have a kind of related segue here that it just dawned on me. One more reason to hate Mike Pence. Remember when we talked about the town in Indiana that's hooked on heroin?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because they can't afford Opana or whatever that pain medicine is.
Correct.
And they said to him that he needed to get a clean needle exchange going, and he was like, oh, I'm worried about spreading HIV. They're like, oh, no, that ship has sailed.
Right, right.
Or, That's the least of our worries.
No, they were worried about, he was worried about people starting getting hooked on drugs. Oh, no.
Oh, that's what now it was. You're right.
Yep. Most of your town has HIV now. We're so far past the drug problem.
Yeah, right. Because you won't pay attention. Yeah, thanks.
He wants to close his eyes to it.
Sure. Oh, my God, that reminds me, speaking of Pence, there was a meme that showed...
Anand, have you ever had a beer?
A meme that showed Joe Biden talking to Hillary Clinton. And he says, hey, I just showed Trump where the drone strike button is. Right. And she goes, that's an Amazon reorder button. He goes, I know, every time he thinks he's firing a drone off, Pence gets a box of tampons.
And you know Trump doesn't drink.
That's funny.
Did you know that?
Yeah. He is very opposed to it.
Yeah.
Very opposed to it. His brother, oldest brother, who was Donald... Nope.
No.
Named after his dad.
Frank,
I think it was. Yeah.
Melania? I don't know. Which one's
the dad? His father, his oldest brother, was the junior. And apparently died of alcoholism.
I think it's a correct story. Unfortunate story. But
I just found out that he did.
And like incredibly opposed. Like it's almost.
Yet his name's on wine.
Anything to make money. But the interesting thing about that is that it really, he had a, I feel like he was on Oprah with all of the kids and made them sign a contract about drinking and about all of that continuing past being in high school. I feel like kind of went on.
That's
another reason not to trust him.
Mm-hmm. One thing Colbert said last night. The whole setup of the joke, something was in regards to, you're going to trust this person with making things better or doing this, yada, yada. A man who can't sell vodka and steak. When you're depressed, you want vodka and steak. How can you not make this work?
Yep.
When you're happy, vodka and steak. When you're sad, vodka and steak. Yep. Yeah, same.
People are going to drink whether they're happy or not.
And I agree with Jenny. He doesn't drink, but the nation started drinking.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Almost immediately.
And our final story for headlines, then Al gets to take over and do some entertainment stuff.
Well, you people wasted 90 minutes.
News anchor Casey Atchison of Q13 Fox in Seattle was trying out Google's new quick draw game made up with some artificial intelligence where you're asked to draw a specific object and then the computer guesses what it is. And it's a way for the computer and the system to learn based on what you draw, what things look like to various people.
Okay.
Bow ties, trucks, chairs, various things. And you've got 20 seconds to draw it on the screen. There's no erasing. You draw it and it guesses what it is. And if it guesses correct, you win points, something like that. Anyway, well, Atchison was asked to draw a cannon. But what she actually drew on live TV past Thursday morning was just a little different than a cannon. So we're going to go direct to video, and I'm going to show you exactly what happened live that morning on TV. And this was reenacted last night on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Here we go.
That you have to draw things very quickly on the screen, and then the computer guesses what it is, and it uses artificial intelligence to see if it can get it right. And it's actually learning as it goes, and as the whole country is sort of playing this game, it's learning to recognize what we sketch very terribly. So here's an example. Draw a bow tie under 20 seconds. Okay, let's see if I can draw a bow tie in under 20 seconds and see if it like gets it or not. So here's my bow tie. Perfect. And down here it'll say, "Up, I got it. Draw scissors." See if I can do that in 20 seconds.
I want to play this game so bad.
I know you do. You should join me. Come over here. So here's some scissors maybe, and let's see if that... Oh, scissors. Look at that.
Give me one. All right,
go.
Nice. A cannon.
Oh, what do you do? What do you do? Oh, no, there's no erasing is the thing. Oh, that's amazing. Let's see.
That's so good.
Oh, it just got so much worse.
You make it every camera.
Oh, okay. Truck, how about a truck?
How about a truck?
Oh my God.
So last night on Colbert, he cut to this and did this skit. Well,
it just got so much worse.
So he drew a cannon, and everything was fine until he added the cannonball.
Yeah.
Well, so he's drawing it, and he says during, like, we're watching the broadcast of it clearly, and he's saying live as he's doing the show, he looks to his producer and goes, okay, we've just found out how much of this picture CBS is going to blur. This whole area, which was already blurred, we could see it. And he kept pulling it up during the show, and they kept blurring that section of it. It was so funny. It was so, so funny.
Oh my gosh.
How to draw a cannon.
I love it. Funny. That game looks funny.
Oh, here she goes. Here she just, again, she's that, and then then she realizes it and loses it right there.
It's just good stuff.
That's the best. Even with her not, like, she's not facing the camera.
Right.
But you just feel it go through her whole body.
Like, she realizes, oh, my God.
You don't even have to see her face to know that it's getting so much.
I still
worse.
Like it. Can you draw a truck? Come on. Can you do that one?
Truck. By the way, I figure you guys will.
Oh, fuck.
Someone will mock me, but watch. Thoughts and prayers segment.
For who?
For what?
Actually, I just wanted to say thoughts and prayers. Oh. But I have been thinking about somebody who joins us and actually draws our maps.
Oh.
Because of the bus accident in
Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, not that Meow Cal had anything to do with that bus accident, but thinking about
6 degrees of separation, was anybody involved that you knew of or that you knew or a family that was affected?
Yeah, I mean
they did arrest the bus driver. Last I heard, it was excessive speed is what they're not on speed, but speed of the bus.
That there was like a 30-mile-an-hour zone, and he was going quite a bit faster.
I mean, you wrapped a bus around a tree, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and it flipped and whatever.
That's a lot.
He apparently had called his mom and was like, this terrible thing happened, you know, this accident. But I was just sick listening to that. At least 5 children have died.
Well, and there was that incident.
I heard maybe alcohol as well, and I'm not trying to throw.
That I hadn't.
I'm certainly not trying to.
So there's that one. There was another school bus accident that happened. Then there was a tour bus accident that happened. And the other thing, and they've been debating this for years and years and years, seatbelts in school buses.
Sure.
Why won't they? Who the fuck
is against that?
Oh, because it costs too much. The retrofitting of the buses costs so much, it's cost prohibitive. But it's okay to kill 6 kids.
But we have not made a new school bus since 1902?
No, even to add it to them.
I agree with you.
Even to add it to them.
I don't fucking understand.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But we've been, like, they're not using the same school buses that I went to school in 1982. Seatbelts aren't a new invention.
No, I realize that.
Every time they make a new school bus.
The retrofit or the installation, apparently it's cost prohibitive. And then the other ones say, the other studies, which I love all the other studies, when they show a bus hit a bump and all the children fly up out of their seat.
Right.
That it's such a rare occurrence.
And who would be watching that? Now, the other...
Anything.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying you don't even have to retrofit old buses. When you build a new bus...
When you build the new bus.
If cars can change all the time...
In 67 is when they went into cars. Yeah.
The other issue, because I thought about Meow, but actually Anant stole my thunder a little bit.
No, Amina, because, they don't.
I honestly, without knowing... And I don't know if you guys do this as well, or anybody in the chat room thinking about the folks that we've gotten to know in here. But when I heard about that train in India, I was sitting there like, what the fuck? And not knowing where Anant lives, and not knowing, does he take the bus? Does, you know, or the train, does this happen? I sat there and I thought, we have to wait until Tuesday to find out because we don't have him on Facebook, and there are other ways to know.
And I know nothing about the regions of India.
Me,
to know.
I don't either.
We have been news free because Harrison doesn't have a TV, so mm-hmm. like there's no. I mean, I'm sure I could.
Of course.
Find a way through the internet to find news, but I'm so used to keeping
Meow.
News on.
That's the first I've heard of that, which is in your post saying that the bus driver is legally obligated to seatbelt each student. I've never heard that in any report, but unless I just missed it, but I've never heard that the bus driver is obligated.
Oh, no, well, that would make sense.
That's what I was saying. Who would go in and make sure that was all done?
The stewardesses go through and make sure you're all belting in. Because I know, like, on travel buses...
I've never heard it either, but that makes complete sense.
And now I can't remember, but when you travel... It's been a while since I traveled on... took the bus. Right. Well, here's the stuff. We can't get out of our seat to do that, so we'd have to hire monitors, and no one wants to do that job. Okay, because I was thinking the last couple times I've taken a bus from Pennsylvania into New York City, I remember like complaining that I didn't have a seatbelt.
Oh, I don't recall.
I'm not comfortable with that.
Even on the buses, like a Greyhound or something.
Yeah,
you know?
It was like a Greyhound, and I don't recall.
I don't know that they have them. Even tour buses like that would go between here and Vegas, you know, because the Harrah's sends down shuttles and they take people to Vegas all the time. I don't know that those buses do either.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and I fully I know how big it is. I just don't know anything about the regions. Kind of like
I'm gonna have to look up 1,200 kilometers. Hold on.
Oh,
I'm so bad at all of that.
A little over 1,000 miles.
Oh, okay.
There's three. It's. Jesus Christ.
Amina's going to have the answer up there in 30 seconds.
5 kilometers is 3.1 miles. So for every... So divide 1,200 by 5.
It's 1 mile is 1.6 kilometers.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
1,200 kilometers is 745 miles.
Yeah. All I know is that the 5K is 3.16 miles.
Oh, okay.
Because at the gym that has it at both. When I was trying to find out like how long I had to walk on the treadmill to equal
Google,
the 5K.
That's what I just got on to. Yeah. I just trying
did,
to get on
in
there.
The search bar. You just type 1,200 KMS conversion and it comes right up.
So
are you?
Thank you.
Is it Uttar Pradesh? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Anant. The Uttar Pradesh, or at least is the region that was more than 140 people were killed. And trains are so terrifying. Because when that shit goes wrong, those people just fly around in there.
Right.
It's terrifying.
But those are the two things that I saw this week that did make me really think about you guys to wonder what your thought was. I can't imagine being a bus driver. I can't. A school bus driver, I don't understand how Erin would go in and work with, she's with high school now, but working middle school? Fuck you.
Those are terrorists.
Terrorists. And then
that was my experience in the culture.
But it's the same thing with school bus drivers. I mean, I would actually have a field day if it was older kids.
From being that age.
Oh no, Meow Cal. No. No. There's two things wrong with your theory about me getting a CDL and being a bus driver for kids. One, there's kids involved. Number two, I'm not driving a school bus. I want a Silver Eagle 1973 Model 5
with
no passengers. 43 seats, bathroom on board, no passengers. Joey Ferrucci will understand when he hears this later. He knows exactly what I want and he knows where to get it.
Oh, that's dirty.
Oh.
So
Turkey.
Mr. Lincoln.
So I the best part was this. Meow Kale is offering me up as a way to kill kindergartners faster. I am the worst driver in the entire world.
Right.
So the stress of... I'm much more stressed being a passenger than I am being the driver. Like, I don't have panic attacks when I drive, very rarely. But after the stress of the one day I really did want to drive because I like to try a little bit of driving in California and then I'm done. Like, I'll attempt a little bit, and then, like, game's over. I don't give a shit. Or if it's raining, I'm automatically just eliminated.
Right.
Because I don't want to drive in the rain. So we drive to the theater, and the brain of the car took us a different way than would have been the faster way. And we were thinking it was avoiding traffic, but we seemed to hit traffic anyway. But it was Saturday night, and you know, near Dodgers, between Dodger Stadium and Hollywood, so what the fuck was going to happen, but traffic, you know what I mean?
That's a long way between Dodger Stadium and Hollywood.
Well, no,
because
you go through, like, by Echo Park, where Harrison used to live, and then you, like, kind of cut across and up and around, and you're in there, because we had to get from Pasadena to Hollywood.
Isn't Dodger Stadium in Anaheim?
No, Dodger Stadium's right above where Harrison used to live.
Oh, it must be where they train or something, because, like, there was a stadium.
Well, they have, there's a team in Anaheim. The Anaheim Angels have their own.
My bad. It was the Angels. My bad. Yeah. Okay, got it.
They have their own team.
Not real good with sports, am I? Nope.
That's okay.
All right. So, anyway.
So we do the drive. Well, on the way home, we get on, and I think it's the 2 that you, like, you change highways, and you end up on the 2. Well, there was just no one on the highway, and it was just, like, it was so relaxing. So I drove like I normally drive, 20 miles an hour, but it was on like a 7.
Right.
So I was in Harrison's like, speed. No, there was no cars.
No, eventually I would think somebody would pass you.
No, because if she was like, the speed limit's like 65. I'm like, I'm exhausted, and there's no other cars in the road. I just want to go the speed that I would like to go. Because it's 70 miles an hour through stress.
Everywhere.
Like, I would just like to take a gingerly 11 p.m. ride down it. It was hysterical. She's like, Al, we need to get home sometime today.
Like, driving like it's 1940 in Los Angeles, where there's like 4 cars in the whole city.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but Maharashtra is a state in the western region of India and is India's 3rd largest state by area, and is also the world's 2nd most populous subnational entity.
So you can get all that, but you can't get headlines on that motherfucking tablet of yours.
No, it's just that whenever I don't necessarily need pops up. But yeah, right. When I'm trying to scroll down,
you're fucked.
The things you do while you're waiting to do what you really wanted to do.
Oh, and apparently what isn't in Wikipedia there is that Annette lives in the most boring part of it.
Oh.
That's why she listens to this show.
All right.
Okay.
There. I think we're ready to toss it over to Alfie. Alfie, are you ready?
Yeah. She said this week. I have a TV show recommendation. We're going to talk about a TV show for what I think is the 3rd week in a row. A follow-up on the documentary that I have to recommend more strongly than I did the first time. We have our first award show nominees, some movie reviews to share with you, including one other one that I have to Google, and I can't remember if I want to give it a good review or a bad review. So we'll find out.
Entertain me without
just a moment. Let's see here first. Let's just give her a shout.
Shout!
There we go. Maybe I can only do this from...
Oh, thank God it's not just me.
Well, you never know what these things are going to have. History. Oh, I can. Okay. So, I have been watching things that I thought were going to be really good, and then they were terrible, and then watching things that I was like, oh, where the fuck did that movie come from? And finding out that they were delightful.
Okay.
Like, for example, there was a movie called Run, Fat Boy, Run from a couple years ago that I really thought was going to be awful, and it was kind of funny.
Okay. I've never even heard of that.
But the most recent one, another movie I was sad that I missed this year, and I'm going to rate it right now because it's now back in their hands, was The Purge: Election Year. If you're into The Purge movies, and I seem to enjoy them more and more, I like the, it's pretty much Bernie Sanders politics for idiots, you know. That the rich people get together and invent this purge so that the poor people kill each other off and they don't have to pay welfare and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's got like a little socio-economical, you can feel smart while you're watching it and feel like you're making some difference. But so there's like the purge anarchy, and now there's the purge election year, and it's someone who's running against they're called the New Founding Fathers, and she wants to end the purge because it affects the poor and inner city people too much.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It was just a weird thing. And I like that they keep this, and it really is like economics for dummies. And you get to feel smart while you watch it. But it was the 3rd movie in the series, and I'm still
so
liking
it. So it would enlighten me, is what you're saying.
And you get to feel really good
I
about yourself.
I probably wouldn't. Yeah, I'd probably be like,
So that was my on-video thing. And then, where's my list? So, saw a couple things, and we saw Doctor Strange, which I know has been out for a few weeks, and now you know I am not a fan of these Marvel movies, mm-hmm. but they got me with that Deadpool movie, which
right.
cracked me the fuck up, and I've seen it twice now and still laughing. Nope. So we saw Doctor Strange with Benedict Cumberbatch. See, Kat, when you're listening, I got
Nicely
his name right.
Done.
Rolls off the tongue now. it was clever and fun.
Okay.
Try to ask the person that seats you for the one long, boring 10-minute fight scene that serves no purpose, and that's your bathroom break. I think they should just say, go pee here.
Take a pee.
Take a pee
as,
here.
As Adele
Take a
would
piss
say.
Here, because this part of the movie has no bearing on anything else and is just gotta... So it has that same... As every superhero
but
movie always
has. But I thought that was
has.
Like supposed to be the Harry, like a Harry Potter one. Yes? No?
Oh, sweet Jesus. No, no. That's Fantastic Animals and Where They're Hiding or some shit.
Oh.
And the places they hide.
Isn't he in that?
No, it's the guy. It's the other British
guy.
You're
right. You're right. You're right.
It's Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
As,
yes.
Yeah.
It's not really Stephen Hawking.
Well, it's not really Stephen Hawking, as Clayton is screaming from the kitchen.
Oh,
I can't think of what that little cutie's name is, too, and I
right
like
now,
him. Oscar winner for The Theory of Everything. So Doctor Strange, good time. Really very entertaining, a nice light touch. Everyone was very charming. So I recommend that highly. Like, when the fight scene starts, but it's Hannibal, so the other reason I liked it was Benedict and then Lars, whatever his name is, Mads. No, Mads. His name is Mads. His brother's name is Lars. Oh, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Okay, thank
that's,
you.
That's the one that's Harry Potter 19. This time it's personal.
Yeah.
Everything.
And he opens like a suitcase and crawls in or something.
I know, everything you loved about
it
Harry
was like
Potter
the lion,
without Harry
the witch,
Potter.
And the wardrobe meets
a
Harry
wizard,
Potter
yeah.
or something. Yeah. Eddie Redmayne, thank you.
Eddie
Benny.
Redmayne, thank you
that
so much.
That was going to drive me nuts. You're exactly right.
I seriously, it was very entertaining, and we paid like $97 to see it. It was LA 3D at nighttime. It was really, it was like $38 for two people. No, it really was
a little hyperbole.
Not much. Yeah. It was $38 for two tickets, and then it was 20 something for two glasses of wine. So we were at like $60.
Sure.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of cash.
So, but it was good. And then we saw Billy's Long Halftime Walk. And I think it's like Billy Lynn or Billy Flynn's Long Halftime Walk, which is Ang Lee, who's a beautiful director, does beautiful work. And I guess this was some kind of like techno Marvel movie, but only New York and LA. And I didn't read this beforehand, or we would have paid the extra $30 to see it in 3D.
Okay.
Because I guess how it's filmed has something to do with... It's kind of a war movie. It's kind of these guys that come home. I don't know. It was long and tedious, and I honestly cannot recommend this movie. And I hate to say that because Ang Lee is one of my favorite directors who's so reliable for, like, gorgeous movies wrought with emotion, and this one just missed. I mean, there was, like, three or four times that we were both like, what?
Did it make you want to quit him?
Yeah, quit him hard.
I'm going to quit him.
But they were all attractive. The good thing is in really, really tight close-up is... the hot men of the army, and they are just beautiful. Oh, and then as a side note, one of the actors, and now we have to Google him, this is going to be a two-parter. So he has a small part in this movie cancel. I don't want the app because your app sucks. IMDb app is the worst. Anyways, he's from Pitch Perfect, and he also has a small part in this movie. His name is Ben Platt. He plays Benji in Pitch Perfect.
Is that the magician kid?
And he's in Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, but he is currently in what is going to be the big hit of the Broadway season. Everyone is raving about this musical, and I meant to have it on here, and then I didn't write anything down because I was out of town. Okay, so Dear Evan Hansen is the story about a kid who commits suicide, and the friend that everybody thinks was his best friend, so he all of a sudden becomes a popular kid at school because everyone mistakenly thinks he's friends with the kid that committed suicide. Very dark, kind of strange, and he's the lead in it, and it's getting a lot of great reviews. It just, it either just opened or it's about to, or it's in, it's just in previews right now. Let me see.
And you said Evan Hansen?
Yeah, what did I just say it was called?
Dear Evan Hansen?
That's a D. Yes. Dear Evan Hansen. Well, they list the shows like...
It would be a different movie. It was Bear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, exactly.
B-E-A-R or B-A-R-E.
Yeah, you don't know.
Traditional spelling.
Either. Yeah.
These fucking app sites instead of the actual website are terrible. I hate apps.
Trouble.
So, Dear Evan Hansen, first preview was November 14th. It opens December 4th. And people are, it's very, very buzzy and just how much fun this is. And so this Ben Platt, who was, I think he was accepted to drama school. And then, that'll be fixed in post. He was offered the part.
There's no post.
Yeah.
There's no post. No.
He was offered the part of Pitch Perfect while he, like, as he was about to start school. So he deferred his first semester. Then he got another movie. So now he's like, well, I guess I'm going to go to college later when the career slows down. And now he has this Broadway musical that's turned into, like, the thing that you'll end up seeing because there's no Hamilton tickets, even though there's a boycott. So, Dear Evan Hansen, so watch here and see if this, if the...
That's great.
If the buzz really pans out of how much fun this show is supposed to be. And it's just a dark little, just a delightfully dark premise. But he's in that Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. Do not go see that movie. If it shows up on like WTBS sometime or in a hotel room during a blizzard, then do it.
Why not?
And then there's...
To ring every bell to watch it, though. I mean, like, blizzard, hotel, on the road, like all these things. All the
Saturday, no date, flashlight's broken. All right.
You weren't invited as the plus one.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, that was a good one.
See, you've only been dating that person for 5.5 weeks.
That's
you
right.
Didn't make the cutoff. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's a movie out with, why don't I even try to do this without my tools? Nicole Kidman. And then I always remember like the weirdest shit that nobody knows.
That's what most of your segment is, Al.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, truly. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just
Nicole
saying.
Kidman's best friend. What the fuck is her name?
Shorty?
Yeah. Naomi Watts.
Miss Urban.
Oh, really?
Mother Urban.
And if you watch old award shows between husbands, Naomi Watts used to show up for Nicole Kidman. She was always her plus one. And then Naomi Watts became famous. And when she was nominated for Academy Award, I think the Oscars, she actually brought someone else. But one of the earlier award shows, Nicole Kidman came with her as her date because she owed her... an award show date. Okay. It was kind of cute. So it's called Shut In, and it's got Charlie Heaton, who just got famous on Stranger Things on Netflix. He's the missing boy's weirder older brother that you're not sure if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Oh, sure.
Kind of creepy.
Yep.
So he has a role. Jacob Tremblay from Room is in it as a disturbed deaf boy. Very good. I don't know. Am I allowed to say deaf or is that off limits? No, too. So... And then Oliver Platt in a strange role.
Well, the deaf people didn't hear you, so
it's fine. There, so we're fine. So, but Shut In. It was a lot of fun. It was...
Huh?
Shut up. It was a quick in and out 91 minutes of old-fashioned, like, spooky door slamming in the night, but nothing graphic, nothing horrible.
Would it scare him?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it was just one of those movies where it's a blizzard and things are slamming and you know,
that's enough for me.
Party sounds scary.
He said blizzard. I'm fearful.
I don't enjoy a slam.
No, I don't enjoy a blizzard.
So it was.
Wait a minute. Are you having, Dairy Queen? I do enjoy a blizzard.
Are you having more corn?
Oh, I is. And I'm mixing it up with the jellied cranberry sauce.
Oh, yes. Nice.
I also had Hawaiian rolls with butter.
I did as well this year. That's what I love those.
Yeah.
I do too. Mm-hmm. I really do. So so Shut In. I mean, I don't, and it's one of those weird like 19,000 different foreign countries produced to this part of their like film four session eight Canada, and I think they dub people over saying Maine. I think when this movie shows around the world, she's going to actually live in Canada.
Okay,
but for American audiences, it was like, I'm from Maine. You know what I mean?
Oh,
TV's Batman,
Montreal, you know what I mean? Maine.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But so it was a really fun little matinee horror that I saw. So just keep that in mind. And then if we have, And I have reached the point of obsession with the fall, so we're going to talk about it again. Please, 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 on Netflix. It's 15 episodes, maybe 16. You get all three.
I'll write it down.
All three.
The fall?
Yeah, that's all three seasons.
I've spent time on Netflix this past weekend. You'll appreciate that, so I'm familiar. The fall.
The fall.
Traditional spelling.
Traditional spelling. Okay. Gillian Anderson. And
it's, oh, right, right, right. Yeah.
So what I did was I finished the third season, and then it's like, though. All right, I need to watch this all at once. And it's 15 episodes, which is like not even a full TV. I don't even know what you said. Not even a full TV.
What's
network.
It about? What's the fall about?
It's about...
if you say science fiction, I'm done.
I don't, not at all. No,
oh,
no, no.
My God.
It's serial killery. It's a detective story.
Is it like... I mean, because I enjoyed the CSI.
You'll love it. This
SVU.
Is,
see, I enjoy the SVU.
This is literally British SVU.
Oh, my God.
Special Victims Unit with Gillian Anderson as Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, God, I love it.
And Archie...
Sold.
What's her name? Archie...
Bunker?
Archie Punjabi. God, somebody's going to kill me for pronouncing her name
probably
that way.
Probably a nan.
But she's the best friend. She was on The Good Wife.
Oh, I do love her. Yeah.
Isn't that her name?
Archibald Barisal.
I believe it is Punjabi.
Sure. So she's
someone tell us if we're wrong, Turkey.
She's in the first two series, as they call it. Mm-hmm. But you can watch the whole thing. So I went back, and because I called in sick those 2 days and had nothing to do, I went back and I watched it. And that show just holds up beautifully, and there's a chance they're going to make it like a prime suspect on PBS, where they'll just have her solve a new mystery.
Okay.
You'll get 5 episodes for her to solve a mystery, or in this case, they'll take... longer. So it really, and it's a little bit of Law and Order too, because you see them catch the criminal, and then you see them what happens once they have the criminal and how they work the evidence and how
SVU works that same way.
Yeah, and how the defense handles, how they handle his defense. Okay. That all of a sudden you have these people like, well, we know he did it. Why? How can you possibly make him out to be the good guy? Like, so very, it's very
all
good.
That, and I don't have to watch Ice-T try to act. That's exciting, right?
Yeah, there you go. You're already winning.
Why you gotta be so mean?
And then Harrison introduced me to a show that I have one more episode to watch. I could not stay awake to watch it, but it's so funny. It's called The Good Place, and I know we had talked about it because we've been seeing the ads for it with Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Laugh out loud.
Really?
Funny.
I got rid of it and never watched it because Aaron said it was awful.
No, she is wrong.
You have to learn not to listen to everything she says.
You are correct.
She watches Housewives programs.
Valid point right there.
God damn, what is wrong with me?
I mean, she's Jewish. Ish.
Now I thought you were leaving. And with that.
Damn, why, because that is... of that? No. I have a fever.
Oh, the hot flashes. But I have
only
to tell you...
Only to give my more cowbell.
I have got to tell you, this show is so... laugh out loud funny.
Okay.
And Ted Danson is...
I was hoping it would
a
be.
A comic genius. Like
and he's like the gatekeeper, right? Like he runs...
He's the architect.
Yep. So architect.
He dreamed up their lives.
Okay.
And he just... And he's not... Like he's trying to... He's delighted in humans and he's trying to learn their behaviors and stuff like that.
Oh.
And then there's a living Siri that walks around that you just call... And I can't remember what her name is, but you just call her name... And she, her name is like Janet or Jenny, and she disappears, answers your questions, and disappears like Andorra on Bewitched. Right. And it's really fucking funny. Yeah. And like Kristen Bell's a horrible person, so she doesn't want him to keep investigating what's wrong with The Good Place because it's her. So she's got to help him figure out what's wrong with The Good Place, but what's wrong is her. So she tells him to take his mind off work and she convinces him to party.
Okay.
And the funniest line in the whole thing is they go and do karaoke and they're singing some song horribly. And then it ends and he looks at her and he goes, this was amazing. We stood here. We watched a video that has nothing to do with what happened. Time passed. I'm not doing it justice, but he's like, time passed. Nothing happened. She's like, that's karaoke. Time passed. It meant nothing, and we were like pissing our pants. But his timing with everything, and then Siri has to pretend because she has no human emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So they want her to be sad, so she has to pretend to cry, and just like what she comes up with is just priceless. love but it. We watched over the 2 or 3 days before bed, and we were only going to watch like one or two, but I think we watched like 3 episodes one night and 3 episodes the other, and we laughed out loud through both of them. So that's the answer to Buddy Early's question of like,
oh,
is there any laugh out loud television?
He still won't think it's funny because Buddy's he's got some issues right now, some bitter issues.
No, he's got some things going on, but God bless him.
Oh, but I enjoyed
that. I'm just making shit up. I have no idea.
Now, somebody in there was, it was Amina that was just talking about Citizen 4. Oh, and Nat just watched Citizen 4, the documentary. No. That's about Snowden. That's a really good documentary. Uh-huh. And a nice primer for when you go see Snowden with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
What is Citizen 4 on? Is that on Netflix?
That's on Netflix.
I was across it because I was going through all the documentaries this past weekend. I watched a wonderful one on the Titanic, which was very interesting to me.
Oh, I watched that one too.
The Mirage issue with why they couldn't see the iceberg.
Oh, yeah,
it's brilliant.
Forensic, what would you call him, meteorologist?
Yeah, I mean, nobody comes back to life in that fucking documentary from the ship, but it was interesting as hell to figure out why, because I never would have thought about it, but he finally went back and traced back and figured out based on weather from all these other ships in the area and what they were all reporting, and then they recreated what, you know, because when you drive at night and it's hot or cold, the light waves bend, and what you think you see is not what you see.
Okay.
So none of the ships in the area thought that it was the Titanic. They thought it was a much smaller ship because it looked so tiny based on what they couldn't see. But it just, you'd have to watch it, but it was very interesting to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the documentary, so Citizen 4 is on Netflix. Got it.
And I don't know what Westworld is.
Westworld's on HBO right now. And some people like it and some people
don't. There's a 50-50 on that.
Well, I mean, I might like some of the episodes.
And the interesting thing is Julian Assange, who really has turned into a spoiled little brat of a fucker.
That's the WikiLeaks guy, correct?
WikiLeaks. Right. He's the one that helps Edward Snowden. And he's in the documentary, but for some reason, when they made the movie, they eliminate almost all mention of Julian Assange. And it's very strange. I don't understand why they
couldn't get the rights.
I'm not sure, since they clearly have the rights to the documentary.
WikiHow.
Yeah. So that's just strange. But The Witness. I had recommended it, so I got to see it this week. And that's the story of Kitty, and forgive me, I can't remember her last name. But it's the story from the 60s where the woman was stabbed and murdered.
Yes, 1964.
On the streets of New York, where allegedly 38 witnesses saw it and no one called the police.
Oh.
So her brother,
right,
who, because of his feelings about, and it's all about the indifference of New York and how cold New York was, like what a cold people they were that they could watch something like that happen. And it's all about like not getting involved. And the fact that every TV show at some point did an episode, they show all the TV shows that have incorporated
that story,
that storyline into their show.
Like SVU. SVU, every one of them. Okay.
And the brother, he's the one that's the subject of the documentary. And he is trying to find out way too far long later, like way too much time has passed.
Over 45 plus years at this point.
Oh, it's 50.
Yeah,
because it was
It was 64.
Yeah, that's over 50.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm 47. 62.
Tell us when you get there.
Yeah, couple more years.
I can't remember. It's not Flanagan. It's a name that
Genovese.
So. You see it through the brothers.
And it's Kitty. Kitty,
because her name is Catherine.
Yep.
And
so Bill is the brother.
Yeah, and you see it through his eyes. And so he goes to Vietnam because he doesn't want to be a bystander in something that's happening in America. Like, he wants to get involved. So that's his motivation for things that he does in life, is because he thinks his sister was the victim of just indifference and people not caring.
Okay.
So then he wants to know, so he interviews some people. He finds out like shocking truths about his sister's life. She was a bar manager at a bar, and he meets some of the customers that knew her. So there are people still alive that know her, and his family is like, this isn't enough. They're like, but none of them talk about her. Like, he was the closest sibling to her, even though she was much older than him.
So even the family is like, look, we're done with this. We've moved on.
Well, they're so traumatized by it that they shut down. And now that it's being brought up, they're like, and he's telling them things about, and there's a horrible story about a dog. There's just all these horrible stories that because the family was so in shock, they just did nothing. And then it became this story all on its own, and they're questioning the New York Times piece.
I just put the link in the chat for it.
He has questions for like why this New York Times piece was left unquestioned, and it became this New York story. It became like the story of New York in the 60s, and like the bad New York is this indifference. And it turns out it's not true. And like there's just so much. It's so profound.
The murder, the story,
the witnesses not reporting it, like what they could actually see, like 38 people did not just stand there and watch a woman die and do nothing. Some people couldn't see it, some people could see it. She did not die alone. But you find out more about the murderer, and then you meet the murderer's son because the murderer won't agree to come on camera, so you meet the son, and then you find out what that family thinks happened. And because that's why I knew the last name wasn't Flanagan, because they think it's a mob thing because the name is Genovese. They think their father is some kind of like
mobster
getting did something good and was getting, and so he thinks the son, the killer son, thinks if he goes and meets the victim's son, he's gonna or victim's brother, he's gonna get shot because they're a mob family.
Oh,
because the story is so cut, and nobody knows the real story. No one in any part.
It's urban mythed its way into so many art incarnations.
But the
playing telephone with the cans again.
And then when you watch like some of the things that this man does, and he's older now. He's
the murderer.
No. The brother.
The brother Bill. Okay.
Because the murderer never comes on, and he died in April. Oh. Like I googled him, and he died in April. Okay. But the things that the brother goes through to just make some peace or just get some sense of how they lost his sister is brutal. It's one of the best documentaries I have seen in a long, long time. I was so profoundly moved by everyone. And then just how many people you think you know a story because you've been told it over and over again, and then it turns out it's not really that true. Things didn't happen, but that the family was like, she died and we just wrote her off. But I'll do some spoilers. I don't want to spoil too much because there is so much in there.
No, and forgive me because I was writing down the witness and then looked it up. Where are we seeing this? It's in theaters?
No. It's a Netflix original.
Okay.
Netflix original. Just came out like a month ago. And I had it on there because that story has always fascinated me. There was a TV movie of the week about it in the 70s. I think I had Gavin McLeod in it. And that's how I knew of the story was from a TV movie of the week.
Random.
Yeah.
It's just random.
Because every movie back then had Gavin McLeod in it. The Night Stripped
Down. And Jenny says, but there was a sick fucker outside. She wouldn't run outside. But that no one got involved. And so this murderer, like this thing happened.
Oh, he came back three times because he knew no one was coming to her rescue.
Got it.
So he like changed clothes and came back and kept murdering her.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, what's true about the story is not what we've all heard, but what is true about the story is parts of it worse.
How fucking chilling is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or maybe he comes back as, maybe he only came back one more time. But either way, he changed clothes.
Either way, he left.
He moved his car.
And he came back. Yeah. And, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
So, again. I'm not saying it's an easy movie. So the Spirit Awards, which are handed out the day before the Oscars, it's independent films, budgets of less than $30 million. The nominations came out. I'll just give you a couple things to keep your eye on just for good movies. Moonlight, which we talked about last week, really good about the gay black man growing up, the three stages of his life. Manchester by the Sea, which is Casey Affleck and Michelle Williams.
Yeah, that one looks
and what
looks
everybody
really
is talking about. And it looks fantastic. I can't wait to see it. Jackie, which is Natalie Portman in the biopic about Jackie Kennedy.
Oh.
American Honey.
I don't remember you talking about it. You may have, but I don't remember.
No, I have. I've been waiting to hear more about it. American Honey is the one that does not look in any way interesting to me, but it's out there and I guess it's getting good reviews.
What are they saying that one's about?
American Honey is about this girl that hooks up with a bunch of people that sell magazines and life, love, and happiness pursue. I don't know. Every time I see the ad for it, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But Loving is getting a lot of attention, which is the story of the court case about interracial marriage.
Oh,
Loving
yeah,
versus
that,
Virginia.
Yes, that one looks really
intense. So that's getting some good stuff. Mm-hmm. Viggo Mortensen, and it's out on Vudu now, Captain Fantastic, about the guy that's raising his kids off the grid.
Okay.
That just came out on video. That's a really interesting movie. So Moonlight and American Honey are the ones with the most nominations. And I have to tell you, every time I see the ad for American Honey, I'm like, get me out of this thing.
Sure.
So I'm... But clearly someone liked it, and it's getting a lot of good news, a lot of good reviews. And now, because we all want Annette Bening to finally win an Oscar, she's getting some buzz for a thing called 20th Century Women, okay, which is about women in the 70s. And I'm kind of curious to see that. That's it from that
I have
one.
May I ask you a question yeah. about a movie? Mm-hmm. Collateral Beauty. What do you think? Do you know anything about it? The one with Will Smith and like a cast of fucking
thousands. That looks very interesting.
Oh, the trailer made me cry.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm curious
to
see that one.
And it almost looked like if you guys in the chat room haven't seen it, or Clayton, if you haven't seen the trailer, I can put that in. But when I was looking at it, I thought, especially with when it's coming out, that it was the kind of Ghost of Christmas Past. The present and future, whatever.
Yeah. Thing but he is. Writes. He meets love, time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, but it's death. That kind of. I don't. And Helen Mirren's in it. Forget it. And
I know. Mine was Kate Winslet. I just saw Kate Winslet.
Well, no, absolutely, okay. Kate Winslet. Let's see. They have. I'm just watching, and the kid. I don't know who this kid is, but he is brilliant. Let me see when it comes up. I'm sorry. There.
Yeah, I think that's a Christmas Day movie.
I think so. That let me.
There's like I think that's one of the two big Christmas Day movies.
And Keira Knightley, Will Smith, Keira Knightley, Kate Winslet,
Helen Mirren.
Yes, and there's
and I can't remember who the is it
Edward Norton.
Edward Norton. That's the other guy in the mm-hmm. office.
And it just I don't.
Yeah, that looks very good.
Yeah, it's this holiday season. But I'm not sure of the date, so as soon as that comes up, and then I'll put something in the chat room if people want to be able to see it, because I'm excited to see that
I
one.
Feel like we saw a trailer and they had picked Christmas Day for that, but I'm not sure. And then the Producers Guild of America has selected their documentary films, which means that they'll come up with their other ones later. But this Eagle Huntress, and I don't think I talked about it last week, but it's playing in L.A. right now, and it's about a 13-year-old Mongolian girl who's attempting to be the first female eagle hunter in her country. And it's narrated by Daisy Ridley from Star Wars 18. This time Luke is older. I don't know what that movie was called, but it was pretty good. And I liked her.
And impersonal.
Yeah, and I liked that. So that OJ Made in America was that documentary that I think ESPN did. Is that where they showed it over the summer? That was not the OJ. Mm-hmm. American Crime, but mm-hmm. this was an actual documentary that everyone was like, haven't we had enough OJ? And everyone was like, no, you need to see this. Okay. So the Producers Guild in America have agreed, but I'm really curious to see this Eagle Hunter. So we almost went and saw it the other day. Harrison and I almost went and saw it. But that's gotten really good reviews, and it just looks really cool. Like eagle hunting in Mongolia. Like why the fuck not? You figure that if nothing else, the scenery is going to be spectacular.
Sure.
And I think with... Make sure... That's it for entertainment.
We have a live shot of Stephen Colbert manning the phones at the Butterball Turkey hotline. It took me far too long to find that to make it work, but I thought it was going to make me laugh.
So watch The Witness and then lighten up the mood and watch a couple episodes of The Good Place. You'll be fine.
So last night, I forgot to tell you this. So last night on Colbert, fucking Carrie Fisher was on. Carrie Fisher. Mm. For those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, American actress, she was the original. Well, she is Princess Leia from the Star Wars series, the cinnamon bun hairdo. You never know what you're going to get when she comes on. Is she wasted? Is she just fucking crazy? What is she?
Well, allegedly she's been sober for a long time now.
She's phenomenally funny.
But she has bipolar, and she's admitted that makes her just,
she's priceless.
She's gotten Edison's medicine. Electric shock therapy.
So
that's right.
Quite a few times.
She was on last night telling all kinds of stories. Well, she brings her dog. She has this. It's a like a Boston Terrier, a little special dog. Has a tongue that hangs out one side of its mouth named Gary. Gary goes with her everywhere.
That's right.
Which I'm guessing might even be like a therapy dog for her. I'm not sure. So she's on, and apparently she wrote a new book. Something about the princess. It's called not the Princess Diaries, but the Princess. Diary or something. It's a play on the word for somebody who wrote the diaries or something. Apparently she tells she went through all of her diaries that she kept during the making of the original Star Wars movie. And she tells all these secrets. Well, she says in the interview, I really wasn't thinking when I wrote it, and I told a little bit too much. Because she told all of the secrets about her and Harrison Ford having an affair the entire time. But apparently she got real descriptive in the whole thing. Colbert asked her a question about something, and she's like, well, everybody knows now. The whole thing. It was so funny. Well, at the end of it, because she had all these secrets that she'd done, they did a segment where they turned the lights out on the set, and the two of them get close-up shots, and they do other unknown secrets of the Star Wars series. And the one that when he tossed to her, and she says, little-known fact that Mark Hamill played... hide the lightsaber, and he would make us smell it and make us tell him where it had been. Oh my God. She was saying all these stupid things. It was funny, but she was hilarious on there. She's just, because you never know what you're going to get. She's out there, but she's so funny.
Well, and when she had to go, we had done some stories in here about her going around and doing press for Star Wars, the one that just came out again, right? And she was doing her interviews, taking Gary. Gary went with her for all of it. And everyone was making a big deal out of the weight that she had gained, right? And like her, had she had work done? Mm-hmm. Had she, why didn't she have work done? Mm-hmm. It was, people just being assholes, really. And people didn't know what they were going to get. Like, they would be sitting there, and that was part of the...
She's a genuinely funny,
she's hilarious
woman.
Yes. And the one-woman show that Jenny's talking about, I think...
The Princess Diarist, that was it.
Jenny, I don't know if you're referring to the same thing. Like, she's standing on a stage, and it has the pictures, all of the pictures of her life in the background, and she talks about her mom, and she talks about Eddie Fisher. Uh-huh. She talks about... she's just, but she's all over the place, and she'll sit down. She talks about
drunken. What the hell was the name of that show?
Not Drunk and Disorderly or anything like that. It was so, but it had to do with her, I think, being sober or alluding to it.
No, and it was called,
I don't know. I was
wishful drinking.
Wishful drinking. There you go. Very good.
Oh, geez,
that was fucking funny. I mean, if that's what Jenny's talking about, if there's something different, I want to know about it.
Well, I think she's talking about seeming loaded last night on Colbert.
Oh.
And when the dog got up in the chair,
she has a one-woman show on Netflix.
Yeah, that's right. I'm like, wait a minute.
When Gary got up in the chair,
there was
2 minutes of the audience just laughing because the dog did this licking thing where the tongue was hanging out. It was very, very funny. And Gary says, Gary's nervous. It's his first late night show.
That's fantastic.
It was very, very funny.
And she has, she has the best career because a couple novels.
Mm-hmm. Well, and didn't she write Postcards from the Edge?
Yeah, she wrote, that's one of her novels, mm-hmm. Postcards from the Edge, and then it's got a follow-up, which I never remember.
Return to Cinder?
No, I don't know. Married to Paul Simon.
Forgot.
That's right. And now he's with Edie Brickell.
Right.
But I had forgotten.
She got
kind of sort of affair with Madonna, but not really.
I didn't know that.
They did a play around publicity stunt where they pretended they were lovers.
Okay.
In like around the time of Postcards from the Edge. Mm. And she just, and then she's a ghostwriter on so many movies where they bring her in to punch up dialogue to make them funny. And she's in When Harry Met Sally.
Right.
Which is just laugh out loud funny. And she's so fucking good in that movie.
She is. She is so. And you've not ever seen that one, have you?
No, that's one that I'm told. Gina Florio says I need to see that one.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, when she carries around the Rolodex. What are they called?
Rolodex.
And she's like thumbing through, finding someone for her to go on a date with her. Like, she's married. And she doesn't take the card out when he's married. She just folds over the corner.
Well, he could get divorced.
He could be back. He could be back in the fold.
And her, like, her just her timing and the wheel. Remember the wagon wheel thing? You got it. You have to. I mean, I own it. So if you want to
I've got
it,
a whole electronic library.
She got married and he died the next week. What are you saying? I should get married just in case someone's about to die? Right. At least you could say you were married.
She is. She's very funny.
Yeah, she... But, I mean, she just has the best Hollywood life.
Who in Germany is listening? Nobody in the chat room that I know of. If you're listening in Germany, hi, welcome. Curious to know how you found us, why you found us. But you're listening right now live.
And by the way, you may not know why you found us, or why you're listening, I
should
say.
Purely accidental?
Well, and right now it's probably just more like, what the fuck am I listening to?
Yeah, yeah.
So, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
there's a lot of you do a lot of good things over there, Jeremy.
And Harrison was talking about a stand-up comic that I watched part of it the other night, but I fell asleep immediately. And she was talking about how funny it was.
Then not funny, or you?
No, I was just so tired. But she was like washing dishes, so I was like,
Lewis Black is coming to town.
I did see that.
God damn it! And now I got to find her. Oh, I know where to find it.
Is she still in there or no?
Yeah,
Harrison, if you're in there, you got to tell me what the name of that comedian was. Because I cannot think of it.
I have watched a couple of comedians that have come on just having the Hulu and Netflix and whatnot. And a couple of them, there's the one from, I will never know her name, but it's Fresh Off the Boat. The TV show Fresh Off the Boat.
Okay. Yeah.
And she is, I don't know if she's actually on the show, but I know she's a writer. And is the most inappropriate person that I've ever...
Can we get her in here?
Know, right? And that's the thing. You know that when you sit around talking at least once a week...
Yeah.
And you're horribly inappropriate. That you think, Madrigal.
Kathleen Madrigal?
Yes.
The one. Madigan.
Kathleen Madigan.
Yeah.
It sounds right. All those letters.
All of it. Madigan. Yeah.
Is it a jackal? Is it a jackal?
Two turtles.
And a madrigan in a...
But I made it through about 5 minutes and was giggling and fell right. But I had taken all my sleep medicines.
Friends, we've only got a few minutes left in the show. So are we going to jump to something? We're going to ditch it? We're just going to laugh our way to the end? Or what are we doing?
Olowocha, I need to watch that Full Frontal. I have not watched it yet.
I have not watched it either.
Mom has
told me about it 100 times, and I keep meaning to sit the DVR, and I don't.
It was right there. Kathleen Madigan bothering Jesus. So funny. Yeah. So funny. Drunk Irish Catholic funny.
Yes, it is. Yes, I agree.
Good.
And I will, let's just end with that. That is your assignment, is find however you can get it. Find Samantha Bee. It's on TBS.
Good. Okay.
It's on Mondays. I'm pretty sure it's on Mondays.
Okay.
Although it's been all screwed up because she was staying topical. So she was like after debates,
after
elections. She had all kinds of special episodes. But this is a woman who is pissing off
a lot
of America. Yeah. Like, she has got our number. And is not letting... She is just not taking her foot off anybody's neck.
Yeah. I guess one thing it throws me off is it has been jumping around time slots, and it's on once a week, and I'm not used to that. I'm used to most everything being like The Daily Show, The Nightly Show, The Late Show.
But it's Rachel, like, Maddow. The last week tonight, Mondays. That she has the whole week to put it together,
right. And
it is really well-researched and really, really funny.
Was she a part of The Daily
vulgar.
Show or no?
Yes.
No,
Samantha Bee was the best.
So was John Oliver.
And so was Colbert.
Yeah. And Colbert, sure.
Yeah, they all were. And Noah, what's his name, from that took over The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what's his face was the black correspondent
The one who did the correspondence dinner thing, the White House dinner, wasn't
yeah,
funny?
Yeah, but he was really funny on The Daily Show.
Okay, yeah, because he wasn't funny
in that. Oh, my
God. No, no, right, different guy.
But he was, but he was on The Daily Show.
No, I understand that. Maybe I'm thinking, what was...
The one that took over for Colbert that did the nerd prom this year.
The one you're thinking of from last year, the gentleman was Peel...
No, who's the Noah guy who took over for Stewart?
Trevor Noah.
Mm-hmm. He was part of it too.
But Larry Gilmore.
Yeah.
And then whatever her name is, the oh my God, and I think she's still with Trevor Noah. Her name is Jessica Williams. Is it Jessica Williams? She, the black lady from The Daily Show. Oh my God.
Oh, I think you're right.
Jessica Williams. She is so motherfucking funny.
Okay.
I can't stand her. Like, when she interviews people, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to put all food away because I can't.
Wow.
He'll aspirate.
I know I will because we learned from Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, that's
when I choked on the napkin, I was wiping my mouth on from what I spit out from choking on the water. Kimmy Schmidt almost killed me. It's a true story.
Oh,
and I live
funny.
Alone, so it would have been days before someone smelled the corpse.
Almost rotting. Unlivable, yeah, Kimmy Schmidt over here.
Right, right.
But I think, yeah. I'm pretty sure her name is Jessica Williams. Jessica Williams. She makes me snort laugh till I absolutely can't stand it.
Okay.
And I thought she would end up with one of the talk shows. I thought they would be edgy when they were plugging in white guys for late night talk shows. I thought somebody was going
to
be smart and give Jessica Williams a spot, because I'm like, somebody else has got to be watching how fucking funny this lady is.
Sure.
She kills me.
Well, if she's left The Daily Show, then maybe...
Yeah, they've got to be priming her, because they're having such good luck. I mean, except for Larry Gilmore, they're having such good luck with Larry Wilmore.
Larry Moore,
yeah. But Larry Wilmore, he had a long run.
Think funny.
I never really was big happy with him either. And then he just died at the... Yeah.
That was really uncomfortable. But he was very funny on The Daily Show.
Okay.
He helped create The Office, The American Office. So he helped tweak that for American audiences. So
I didn't realize that part at all.
I'm a big fan of his work. Sure, he had one misfire, but funny guy.
All right. Well, Olot, let's just go around
real quick. And what's something... Because I've done 18 things that I found lately that I found... What's something that you've watched recently that you went... People don't know about that's making you happy or making you think.
Tig Notaro. Is it just Mississippi? I feel like it is not, but it's on Netflix, Amazon, Netflix. I'm going to keep going back and forth. Amazon, Netflix. Which is it on? Tig Notaro. And it's something Mississippi. Fucking brilliant, and it's just such dark humor and her delivery.
It's on Amazon. But her stand up, the one the really uncomfortable stand up, is on where she talks about her breast cancer.
Right. Well, but
that's on Netflix.
You know, that was the thing with is it just Mississippi? The thing. I'm sorry.
I have to go to
because that was one of the kind of intense things about it. Tig Notaro. One Mississippi. Thank you. Tig Notaro has breast cancer. I don't know if they have gotten rid of it all or where that's at now, but she had a double mastectomy, and she talks about it. And there's something about that I think is brilliant, because she talks about it on the show and how no one has touched her as far as, you know, that. And then she said she hasn't even looked at herself yet, and then goes through that. So digress.
But One Mississippi, brilliant. Funny. And then whoever told me about Criminal, I finally put it up there. Whoever told me about Criminal, I finally got around to at the podcast, and I loves it.
Okay.
Really interesting. So thank you. I know somebody was yelling at me that I hadn't brought it up. I've listened to like 18 episodes now.
The only thing I watched of late were a couple documentaries on Netflix, and what I've enjoyed about them is it's fact, it's real, there's no opinion. It's
a lot of be careful. A lot of documentaries do have a very slanted point of view.
At least it's not an opinion about right or left side of the house and who's going to fuck who over.
Right.
It's just we're looking for answers to long term mysteries that we're finding out now, more important things.
Did the Titanic sink?
Fully. Yeah. All right. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to all of you who celebrate it. We'll leave you with this parting thought. Next Tuesday.
Bye, guys.
You've been listening to The Show on Hume Talk America.